everything you know will change.
Like to have everybody's attention for a moment.
You the man.
What's that mean? You the man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now all of a sudden you're stepping up to the next level of competition.
All right, listen up.
Welcome to The Rundown. Here's Desmond Johnson.
It is Saturday, Sports Hub fans, and welcome to The Rundown. Yet another busy weekend in sports. We will get you ready like only we can. Me and the crew here to NBA playoffs during the conference finals. Are the Warriors better without KD? And should Kawhi be the MVP of the league? Plus, will the Panthers quarterback Cam Newton eventually become the highest paid player in the NFL? And what happens now with Anthony Davis after the madness that was Tuesday night? Probably the most exciting NBA draft lottery of all time. We'll get into all of that and more. I'm your host of The Rundown, Desmond Johnson, joined by Rod Funderburk, Brandon Blakeney, and Ryan Stone. Sawyer Dillon, our producer extraordinaire, intern Aaron on our social media, in the house as well. 336-777-1600 is the number to chime in if you want to chime in on any of our topics today. Our Twitter poll question of the day: who would win in a boxing match if both were in their prime? WBC heavyweight title holder Deontay Wilder, who is out here looking for bodies right now, or Iron Mike Tyson? And I see this look of disdain from Aaron.
I know my answer to that.
Now, Aaron, I know you're a boxing aficionado, correct?
Of sorts.
He's looking at me like, I'm not sure if he's looking at me like, I can't believe you asked that question because Wilder would beat him, or I can't believe you asked that question because Tyson would beat him. Like,
Deontay Wilder is pretty much the worst heavyweight champion I've ever seen.
Wow. All right, so we're gonna find out. We'll see I'm curious to see if the public really paying attention to boxing like they used to back
in
the day.
It's gonna be 100% for Mike Tyson.
You think so? 100%. See, I don't know if people really even know a lot about Deontay Wilder.
I don't think enough people have seen him. Yeah. Like, he don't have that culture shock.
I know Deontay Wilder. I know Deontay Wilder can't box.
I've seen him. You want to see somebody that might actually catch a body? Mike Tyson could actually catch a body.
See, if you don't know, Deontay Wilder was on TV a day or two ago basically talking to reporters and saying, you know, this is the only sport where it's legal for me to kill a person in the ring, and that's what I'm about to try to do. I mean, that's not exactly what he said, but I'm paraphrasing what he basically told this media group, and basically the media lost their minds when he said it, but it's not like boxers haven't said stuff like this in the past. I mean, this isn't anything new. I mean, boxers are out there trying to kill each other.
Well, my thing is, why not say it? You're in the ring. Mm-hmm. It's hand-to-hand combat.
Yep.
And guess what Mike Tyson used to do? He always used to intimidate everybody any way he could before he could get in the ring. And my opinion is that's what Dante was doing. He's just trying to intimidate his opponent.
I interviewed a guy yesterday in Danville that's a boxing heavyweight boxer. He actually trained with Deontay Wilder a couple months ago, so he knows him a little bit. And that's exactly what he said. It's mental warfare, essentially, at this point. It's a psych out tactic.
Psych him out before you even step foot in the ring.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Tyson talked about eating people's children. I mean,
exactly.
He ate an ear.
I believe him in that case. This shouldn't be a shock to anybody. 336-777-1600 is the number to chime in on any of these topics for today. Go check out our Twitter poll and vote on that right now. If you want to see the Winston-Salem Dash at the Annex this season BB&T Ballpark for only $7, check out the Sports Carolina Monthly Winston-Salem Dash deal. Go to sportscarolinamonthly.com, click on the Dash ticket special at the top of the homepage, get your ticket vouchers, and enjoy baseball action in the Triad. Single game tickets, only $7. These are a $16 value. They are behind home plate, so they are fantastic tickets exclusively from Sports Carolina Monthly. These are good only for the June 6th through the 9th homestand, but limited supply available, so you can go buy now. Stock up, get ready for when the kiddos are going to be out of school, and enjoy the Dash. Let's jump into some NBA playoff talk here first, guys. I wanted to talk about last night's game first. Are we sleeping on Milwaukee? Because it doesn't feel like they're getting treated as like the number one overall seed in the NBA playoffs. They're the only team that won 60 games. Mm. They probably have the league MVP in Giannis. I don't know what you're supposed to do to stop this dude right now. Are they being overlooked?
I think so. At this point, did you expect Ilyasova to go for 17? Did we expect this supporting cast that Mike Budenholzer is bringing the best out of? I think he did the same thing with an overlooked Atlanta squad back in the East a few years ago that were the number one seed that kind of went overlooked as well. But the guys are hard working, man. They're blue collar. They bring their hats and their lunch pails every day, come to work.
I think they're supporting cast is overlooked. That's why I picked Milwaukee in this series on my podcast, because I thought their supporting cast was significantly better than Toronto's. Even though Toronto may have the bigger names, I think Milwaukee clearly has the better supporting cast than Toronto.
I definitely agree with that. Yeah. But as far as sleeping on Milwaukee, I mean, maybe everybody else did. But I'm going to tell you what.
He took them.
I'm going to tell you what. Rod Funderburg had them coming out the East.
You did pick them. I picked Toronto, and I think you did pick Milwaukee.
Yeah, I had Milwaukee coming out because, you know, it was something that we talked about even during college ball. What do you look for in a championship team? Well, you look for all the pieces around in that you have to play. But then you look for that one standout player who can make a difference and can make any kind of play at any given time. And Milwaukee had exactly that combination right there, which is why I picked them coming out the East.
I tell you what, if Kevin Durant doesn't get healthy and it looks like that injury is more significant than we previously thought, Milwaukee is a real threat.
Oh, they'll win the chip.
I still feel like Golden State can beat them without.
I think it would go to six.
I'm not saying they can't, but I mean, they're a real threat.
Yeah. Kevin Durant, as much as we're talking about Giannis over on the other side, yes, Chef Curry over there doing Chef Curry things. Like it's almost like as soon as Durant walked off the court,
it turned into Steph.
Yeah, it turned into Steph. 4-14
from three.
Who, Steph?
From three, but he finished with 39-8-8. Yeah,
I mean, he scored. Come on now. He's shooting like stuff.
I'll be honest with you. If Kevin Durant does not play in the championship, I'm sorry. Milwaukee's going to win that game. I will take another steak dinner bet on anybody who wants to take that one.
Who's guarding
I'm interested. We know Draymond's going to be
in the game. And they play Draymond on him. Yeah.
Kevon Looney's going to play some on him as well. Yeah, Kevon Looney. Andre Iguodala's going to see some time against him.
The only guy that should be guarding him is Kevin Durant.
Klay Thompson will probably see some time against him.
Iguodala will probably be the one I would think that draws Giannis.
Kevin Durant is who should be guarding him.
Kevin Durant is not going to wear a Warriors uniform again. I don't think he's going to play again the rest of the season.
Oh, you think he's out the rest of the season?
I think he's out. I said that 2 weeks ago when it first happened. I was like, that is not a mild calf strain that he's walking off from. Whatever it is, they don't want to reveal what it is because he's about to go into free agency. So for him, like, he's not even traveling with the team, like, for road games. And for me, I'm like, okay, a mild calf strain that happened 2 weeks ago, you're not traveling with the team?
I think it's an Achilles.
I think it's Achilles, too. And they don't want to reveal. Like, it might be like a small rush
Everybody
or something.
Everybody thought initially that's what it was when he went down. It had all the makings of that.
That's how it looked when it happened to Kobe. Mm-hmm. It looked like somebody kicked him in the back of the calf. And when you turn around because you think somebody hit you, that's when usually is the telltale sign. And that's exactly what Durant did. I'm not a doctor. None of us are doctors, but – if it was a mild calf strain, Matt Barnes was on probably The Jump earlier this week, and he was like, he had one, and it's like a 3-4 week injury. So even if it is a mild calf strain, it's just up to the individual. And 3-4 weeks, you're talking going into June. I mean, you're talking about going into the NBA Finals. Like, he may not be ready. All the media keeps saying, well, when Durant gets back, blah, 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 or when Boogie gets back, blah. There is no guarantee either one of these dudes are going to be back in the next 2 weeks. And I don't think Durant's going to be back at all. And then it opens up the whole, where's KD going, which we're going to talk about a little bit later.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Durant does not come back and Golden State loses the chip, what does that do for Durant's stock?
It makes him look better. Yeah. But on the reverse, if Golden State wins at all with no Durant.
Which they've done before.
It's a different team, man. Different bench.
That's
a different team. So they won that without him.
Let's back up there to that though,
real
quick.
I like the bench this year.
Because for those who don't know, last night, Milwaukee won 125-103, was in control pretty much the whole game. Game three is Sunday in Toronto. Are the Warriors better without Durant?
Absolutely not.
I think they're more fun.
More fun, definitely.
Well, wait a minute. But they're 28-1 when Durant doesn't play and Steph Curry does. Isn't that enough proof that they're better?
You're never better without the best scorer in possibly NBA history.
Well, maybe I should rephrase the question.
Here's what they do better without Kevin Durant. They move the ball.
Yeah,
I agree. They're more fun to watch.
Are they more fun to watch without Kevin Durant?
It's more passive.
Isn't that a problem? If they're more fun to watch without the second best player on earth, like, isn't that a problem that they're more fun? Like, it feels like they're not villains when Kevin Durant is not playing. Because everybody liked Golden State in 2015. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved them moving the ball around. Everybody loved Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, Draymond Green and all his antics and everything. And then they got Durant, and they became like the NWO sort of. People started hating on him.
I still feel the same way. Let's not act like Durant just jumped ship. These guys wanted him to come. They baited Durant. They recruited Durant to come here.
It worked out.
say I blame him. Like
right.
That.
I mean, yeah. No. I never really blamed Durant for going there because it's like,
it was a very soft move. You
want to go where your friends are, right?
Well, I mean, he got tired of the Warriors beating him in the West, and they probably got tired of seeing LeBron just dominating and winning the
league. Like, you choked away a 3-1 lead.
You're
very much a part of that. Yeah, like, him and Russell Westbrook were both to blame. I was there for game 6 when Klay Thompson erupted in Oklahoma City. And him and Russell Westbrook were both to blame for that choke.
I had this weird thought the other day. What if Kevin Durant, instead of going to the Knicks or the Clippers or all these, there's only a couple teams that are really even rumored he's even going. He might even go back to Golden State. Who knows? What if he went back to Oklahoma City?
They can't afford him.
They have no money whatsoever.
They can't
move anything around.
They're all locked in the PG.
I know they got it. But what, is there no way that could possibly happen?
They've got Steven Adams on contract.
Maybe move Dennis Schroeder. They'd have to give up a lot.
They would have to move everybody but George, Westbrook, and Steven Adams.
Do you think
because those three
take
up the bulk of the contract.
Well, if he said, if he like had a conversation with owners like, you know what, I want to come home or come back. Like,
I mean, you have to shift things around.
I mean, they would try
to at least give your best shot at it.
That would be the best story for me. You go back to Oklahoma City, finish with you started, then you guys defeat Golden State and go on. But this time you got Paul George with you, and
wouldn't it be so fun to trade Paul George to LA?
It would be great. Whatever.
Wouldn't it be so fun to see him though revive New York?
It would be great. To see
maybe.
I'm not a big New York.
We need NBA. The NBA needs the Knicks back.
I don't think
they need
do.
That New York market.
I don't think they do.
I don't know if either.
Oh, like, elaborate on that.
But see, that's what I was thinking. Well, we're gonna talk about the draft lottery in a little bit with Zion going to New Orleans and how people feel about that. I don't know, because, I mean, the Knicks were like, I'm old enough where I'm 41, so I remember when the Knicks were good, at least relevant, they were competing in the 90s.
Yep.
But I also can look back over the past, I don't know, 15-plus years, and they're so poorly mismanaged that I'm worried
it's
that
terrible.
I don't see how they're going to be able to get Kyrie and Kevin Durant together. Plus, their styles don't really match. I can't figure out why everyone's pushing them together because I don't understand how they're going to play with each other.
Well, they played with each other on that USA team that won, and they started together. They
That's the Olympics. That's because Coach K was the coach. That's
twelve guys that know that
everybody's trying to pass the ball.
Like,
they're both so ball dominant.
They are.
So I'm trying to figure out how they're going
to
do this.
Why I say the NBA doesn't need the Knicks to be relevant is because the NBA over the past 10 years has been as popular as it's ever been, and the Knicks haven't been anything.
And
they don't need the Knicks.
The Knicks have been a cluster.
I mean, it would be good if the Knicks.
If Durant is in New York, though, that's something. I mean, Madison Square Garden is still one of the most famous, sought after arenas to play in.
True.
Period.
I just
crap hole, but yeah.
It's a crap. I mean, it's the Mecca, right?
Exactly.
People are almost saying it like it's a foregone conclusion, and I'm just like, I don't think it is.
Well,
like,
he's a Maryland guy. You can see that up north connection.
I almost feel like he's going to re-sign with Golden State because it's the easier thing to do. But KD, from everything we've said about Kevin Durant, like,
KD thing
it's
to do.
Got to be like under his skin that people are saying, well, you know, we're never going to consider you like a great because you went to Golden State.
I mean, he made a burner, so you know it's under his skin.
I mean, my man is kind of like.
he responds to everything.
And there's also the factor of
everything.
He does.
There's the factor of Draymond Green. That's also, I'm thinking that if Draymond signs, we don't see KD.
Well, actually, Klay is the
Klay's
one that's
going
to. I mean, I didn't mean sign, but I mean if they like extend and don't trade Draymond.
Draymond's got 2 years left, this year and next. But Klay is supposed to be up after this season, and from all indications, the Warriors are saying, we're giving him the max. Don't even worry about it. Don't sweat it.
Yeah.
It would be stupid for them to let him explore other options.
Because, I mean, he can
pay
easily
that man
take
his money.
A team. Definitely.
Oh, he can easily go to the Lakers. I mean, or Clippers. I mean, he's got ties to Los Angeles. Yeah. So, I mean,
again,
his dad was on Twitter talking about the Clippers and praising the organization and how they're ran
they're
and
run better than
Rivers.
The team across the hall.
I mean, he was right. If he was my kid, that's where I'd want him to go.
I mean,
not the Lakers.
So, I mean, what? Especially with Klay, it almost felt like watching this Warriors team. Like I said, it reminds me of how much I enjoyed watching them and why the Splash Brothers are like my favorite duo like to watch. It's something different about when Durant is hot and hitting like mid-range jumpers and threes and he's just driving on folks or whatever. There's something completely and totally different when Steph gets hot. When Steph gets hot, the crowd kind of, it's a weird thing. Like, it's like a buzz that happens in the, like, you can feel it at the house. Like, when you're watching, if Steph hits that first one, and then he starts doing that thing where, like, he'll shoot it, and while the ball's in the air, he takes off running the other way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, starts filling
himself. You're in
trouble. Yeah, if he starts doing that kind of stuff and balls start going in from all over, like, 35 feet out, and that's when it's fun to watch. Yep. And I don't want to see Kevin Durant in a Golden State uniform again.
Well, this is still again. Steph's team.
It was always Steph's
exactly.
team.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's still Steph's team. So he still has that alpha dog leader. I mean, they're still going to rally around
Steph. I mean, there was an article a week ago about how after the Draymond and Kevin Durant blow up in November, Steph Curry, who was out with an injury, he was the one that as soon as they got back to town, he was the one that sat down with both of them and kind of hashed it out. That's leadership and that's your team if – there ever was an example of that.
Oh, definitely. And you're talking about the crowd going wild and the stadium getting hype when Steph Curry starts getting hot. Well, part of that is because Steph Curry is just a regular guy like us. He's not 6'6". Yeah. He's not 6'7". He's not 7 foot. He's just a regular old guy who can go out there,
shooting the ball,
handle the ball, and shoot that bad
put the
boy.
Reps
yeah.
in.
When it comes to height and playing basketball, Steph's just a regular guy.
Yeah.
And then he's still the babyface assassin. I mean, believe it or not, people like those babyface guys. You know what I mean? And Steph, he's the man, and he's a true leader. And I think that's something that Durant has yet to have come into his repertoire is leadership.
Yeah.
Because he's too much of a cupcake and a wine and a crybaby.
Deferred to Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
The leadership is already in place in Golden State.
So it's pretty much agreed. Kevin Durant has to leave Golden State in order to get your respect back.
He would have to win a ship with the Knicks to get my respect back.
If he could just get the Knicks to the conference finals.
All right, let me be clear. I very much respect Kevin Durant's game. Like, I think he is best player in the NBA today.
Yep.
But as far as...
I'm not putting him above LeBron, but I respect y'all's decision.
As far as what your leadership is and what your resume says, then yes, he needs to leave Golden
State. And I'm glad you brought LeBron up because people
are
all like...
We're missing him
right now. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
We're missing
people
LeBron
are all like,
right
well,
now.
LeBron did this when he went to Miami. This is not remotely the same. Miami
not
was
a
built
champion.
From scratch, literally.
Exactly.
Like, there was nothing on that
roster. They didn't blow a 3-1 lead.
Exactly.
Same team.
Joined a 73-win team?
Yep. And Pat Riley decimated that roster to clear it out for LeBron and Chris Bosh to go with Dwayne
faces.
Wade. And then he sprinkled in like minimum vets to go with them.
They were all one-year guys.
Kevin
Giannis. Durant
left a team that was his and went to a team that was better that just beat that team and then won two rings and won two finals MVPs off of the backs of that team. And if I'm the Golden State Warriors, I'm like Draymond had it right at the beginning of the year. Remember him and Durant got into that fight on the sidelines where Draymond's basically like, look, we were winning championships without you. We don't need you, basically.
Did.
And ever since then, Durant's been kind of like, okay. All right.
Man. But that's how I feel. Right. They don't need him necessarily. They just needed him out the way.
It's a luxury for them to have him.
Here's the other thing.
We need him out of the way.
I look at Durant. I look at that rant. Durant has that guy where your buddies are all together, and they have a fight with the crew across the street. And the crew across the street kicks your butt, and the next thing you know, your buddy's over there with them.
Hanging
right,
them.
That's exactly what happened.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is.
That's why all the memes started. You know
what I mean? 336-777-1600 is the number to call. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do a little barbershop talk. All the talk about these free agents in the NBA. We're going to play NBA musical chairs. Where would the best fit be for each of these upcoming major free agents in the NBA? All that and a little bit of NFL talk, too, when we return. You're listening to The Rundown.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah!
Going to be one big party.
Yeah, I'm on.
Back to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Barbershop Talk brought to you by Haviline Express Lube of Kernersville. Their service facility is independently owned and operated by Mac Allen, providing full-service repair and maintenance services. They use the latest diagnostic equipment to guarantee your vehicle's repaired or serviced properly and in a timely fashion. Mac and his team pride themselves on commitment to the local community and providing value-driven service in an inviting, friendly environment. Go see Mac at Haviline Express Lube of Kernersville for all your automotive maintenance needs. Sawyer in there bringing some heat this morning. Got some old-school Run-DMC playing. We are The Rundown. I am your host, Desmond Johnson. Ryan Stone, Brandon Blakeney, Rod Funderburk in the house. Intern Aaron and Sawyer Dillon in the studio, keeping us on the road. And we are in Barbershop Talk. I wanted to play a little NBA musical chairs because we've been kind of tippy-toeing around the fact that probably the most explosive free agency period of all time is going to go down here in about 2 months in the NBA. I think I saw last night that they moved the deadline earlier in terms of when you can start signing. Instead of it being July 1st at midnight, now it's going to be like 6 p.m. Did they actually move it? I know they were discussing it. I thought I saw that they did move it up or whatever. I don't know what difference that's going to make, but let's do this eight hours earlier.
Why, from July 1st to June 30th?
Right, yeah. I don't understand even the logistics of why.
They should move it to just right after the draft.
You know, I was thinking.
Or right before the draft.
Is it better to do it after the draft or before the draft? Because some of this stuff we're going to talk about in a little bit with the draft lottery, some of these trades that people are talking about can happen or whatever, they have to happen before free agency. Well, it has to happen before the draft.
So, yeah, definitely.
So you got to move the pick before the draft even happens, right?
Well, I mean, I think it just can only become official, I believe.
Yeah. So, that might be.
You can make the trade, but it can't become official until free agency takes effect or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, you can be in discussions and have talked about it. And you can, as a matter of fact, you can already know exactly who you're going to pick, knowing that after you pick them, they're going to be traded to someone else.
I think that's literally how Kobe Bryant ended up in L.A. The Hornets drafted him, but everyone's all, you know, oh, well, they gave up Kobe. No, they knew that that trade was already being worked on, and they knew that Kobe was going to be sent to L.A. when they picked him. So
yeah, they picked him for L.A.
Right, so that could be that.
Is that what happened with Eli Manning, too?
Now, that was more Eli, like, that I don't want to play
for you. It was more like,
Eli and Archie, like, no, I don't want to play for you.
I ain't playing for you guys, clowns. I want to go to New York.
Which people were saying could happen with Zion, which I didn't think was ever going to be the case.
That came out and said that, hey, we're cool with New Orleans. You better be, because we ain't going anywhere. Like, Zion, you got to go play in New Orleans.
Zion just doesn't strike me as that kind of kid.
What?
Like, no, man, he's humble. I've interviewed him. He's very humble.
No, if I was his dad, I'd be like, son, you need to go back to Duke for another year.
Turn down the
million? $100 million? You turned down $100 million to go play for free for another year?
To go risk injury?
Go back to Duke.
I'm not tearing an ACL.
I was about to say, that shoe exploding was enough for his whole family to be like, all right, we got like six more games and we are out of here.
And we might consider New Balance.
the fact he even came back and played for Duke, like
I said, that's something about his character, in my opinion.
Yeah, but just knowing him, man, he was sitting out was never even an option.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. That speaks to his character, in my opinion,
for
like,
sure.
Because
a lot of kids would have signed out.
So this is what I'm gonna do for this segment for Barbershop Talk for today. I've picked out a couple of free agents, and I'll probably grab a couple more. But these are the top five I could think of, and we're gonna not where do we think they're going to land. Where would be the best fit for these free agents? So that's the key of the game. So give me some kind of something or other that we can put underneath this here. NBA musical chairs. Okay. A little Justin Timberlake there. All right. I should have known that. I should have known that's where he was going to go.
He put him in the greatest performer of all time.
Let's start off with Jimmy Butler. He is a forward for the Philadelphia 76ers currently.
Jimmy Lakers.
Jimmy Butler is a great fit anywhere except Minnesota. He is that kind of guy that, like, he's the kind of guy coaches want because he works his butt off, he guards,
he's a dog, and
he can hit shots.
He's a dog.
He was a late first-round pick.
Late first-round pick.
Yeah, I think
where did he go?
28, 29.
Marquette.
Marquette, okay.
I mean, he was, like, homeless at one point, I think, in Texas before he went to Marquette. Like,
and Wesley Matthews, Marquette, when Buzz was there.
That's a good squad.
I like Jimmy. I actually hope Jimmy ends up in L.A.
I can see him, he's got that star quality about him.
I could see him in L.A. I could see him staying in Philadelphia. I think he's a great fit in Philadelphia. And honestly, I think Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid need Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say is his best fit. This is the 76ers. I mean, Jimmy Butler, he's good for Embiid. Yeah. I mean, he actually gave Embiid a little more confidence.
They seem like they became friends, like, as the year went on, like, close. Like, they were doing press conferences together at the end of games and stuff. So
I'm just not sure that they're using him the best way up there in Philadelphia.
Oh, the way they managed the Game 7.
That was cool.
It was bad.
They need a point guard. Ben Simmons isn't a point guard.
Ben Simmons has to get a jump shot.
That's why he needs Jimmy Butler. He's still one of the best assist men in the league. But if you're standing 20 feet away from him, he'll guard him.
Here's my thing. At the end of that game, the way they handled it, if he's not running the offense, he shouldn't be on the floor.
Who, Ben Simmons?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because all he did was go hide in the post.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And you're 6'10". You can't go hide in the post and be 6'10". Like,
you're a walking... But, I mean, the game before, we see what he can do. He shows us flashes, and that's why it's so frustrating.
The potential is there.
He does definitely need it. If he gets a jump shot, then he literally becomes LeBron James.
We have
James,
to remember
really.
That the kid's 22 years old still.
This is his, what, second, third season in the NBA?
Year three? I think first season. He didn't play at all.
He missed the first season.
Last year.
So the second full season?
Yeah, this is the second full season.
So does that mean he doesn't practice and work on his craft during the offseason?
I'm wondering.
Or if he does, he's not very good at it.
I don't necessarily think that's true.
Any game like Kylie Jenner?
I mean, I'm just saying, man.
He's chased a little bit too much Kardashian.
He's dating Kylie Jenner, isn't he? Is she like a billionaire or something?
Something like that.
But no, I'm just saying. No, he's dating Kendall Jenner. Kylie dates Travis Scott.
Yeah.
but yeah, still a Jenner Kardashian.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah, but I'm saying horrible for your career. Regardless of who you're dating, you know, she has millions, possibly close to billions, but you have millions. Why do you not spend your time working on your craft when you're that young?
That's why I said he needs Jimmy Butler.
During the off season, yeah.
After chasing ladies or whatnot. Yeah. Magic Johnson didn't have a jump shot when he first came in the league either.
But he worked on it.
That was a little bit different.
That's exactly right.
But we're still talking about 22 years old. There's still a lot of time.
I mean, we're looking at LeBron James, who was 18 years old and worked on his craft.
He had a jumper coming in, though.
But he did have two.
He didn't have the post player. He went down to Olajuwon and got training with him.
I got to bring it back. Jimmy Butler, real quick, vote on the panel. Where does he need to go?
I think he needs to stay with the Sixers.
I vote Lakers.
Lakers.
LeBron needs him.
Actually, I'm gonna say Lakers too. I think he fits. I think he fits with LeBron. Although I have a theory about what's gonna end up being in LA before the season's over with. But
I do too.
All right, we'll go 76ers Lakers. Next up, Kemba Walker, point guard.
Stay in Charlotte.
Selfishly, I want him to stay in Charlotte, but the answer to that is absolutely not. If you want to win.
I think he's the biggest wild card in all of the free agents that are going to be out there.
I think there are two places that he could really fit well at. And the first one is Dallas. I think with the pieces that the Dallas Mavericks
that's an interesting.
He would really slide right into Dallas. But then I also think he would fit great with the Lakers over with LeBron James.
I think it's wherever Kyrie doesn't go.
Right. I think
he will wait until that domino falls, and then Kemba I could see in L.A. I could see him with the Knicks. I could see him with the Nets.
But even with the Knicks, you got to consider they still have Dennis Smith Jr. locked in as well.
That's a rookie contract though.
But still.
He's been traded twice.
He's going to sit on the bench if I got a chance to get Kemba Walker.
He's played well with them sparingly.
He's going to sit on the bench if I got a chance to get Kemba.
I'm saying Charlotte. And like honestly,
I think he stays in Charlotte.
With Charlotte, it's more about because he can get the most money from Charlotte. He can get his max deal from them. And honestly, all Charlotte really needs to do is turn the team over to the youth. Like stop playing Marvin Williams and Nick Batum and
The question was the best fit. Are you saying that Kemba's the best fit for Kemba?
Because Charlotte's the only team where he is going to be the alpha. If he goes anyplace else, it's going to be as a compliment to somebody else, in my opinion. There's no reason to go to another team if he's the alpha there when he already owns the city here.
He does own the city here, but just looking at his personality and the way that he moves, I don't think he has a true alpha personality.
I don't get that alpha.
I think he's forced to be an alpha, and that's not his natural fit.
I don't know. If you remember them UConn days.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of.
That is a different thing in the NBA.
But he's still built the same way,
Jim Calhoun was the alpha for those UConn.
Kemba was carrying those teams on his back, and he's been doing that in Charlotte for 8 years.
This is the NBA now. This is a whole, when he was in Connecticut, that was a big fish in a smaller pond.
Right.
And this is a huge pond with so many more big fish.
So what would be a better fit for him in Charlotte then? The Knicks? With James Dolan as the owner?
I told you, complained about
Michael Jordan. You're going to send him to James Dolan?
Horrible.
Charlotte is a small fish.
Lakers-Dallas.
New York?
I said Lakers-Dallas.
Yeah. So.
I'll just write off Dallas just because of the fact Luka Doncic is pretty much their point guard. Right. That's the reason they got rid of their point guard, Dennis Smith, in the first place. Okay. So I don't see them dropping a bag on another.
I don't know that Kimba I don't see them dropping a point guard.
He doesn't.
Yeah, he's 6'1". What else is he going to play?
No, but Luka is big enough that he could guard the two.
He can't play shooting guard at 6'1".
No.
He'd be guarding like
Klay Thompson, James Harden.
Yeah. No.
DeMar DeRozan.
That's not going to work.
Chris Paul and James Harden play in the backcourt.
Exactly.
James Harden is 6'5".
Luka Doncic is 6'5". That's the point.
Luka Doncic is
6'7".
Yeah. But Chris Paul plays point guard. He's the point.
Yeah, Chris, that's the reason why.
He can move Kemba over to point guard.
Luka Doncic was there, played some four this year.
I'm telling you, he could fit.
So where are we? So you said Dallas or the Lakers. You said...
I say stay in Charlotte.
I'm saying stay in Charlotte.
Selfishly, I want him to stay in Charlotte, but if we're talking fit, the Knicks.
Okay. We're going to go. Well, I'm going to count your Charlotte vote, so Charlotte.
It's the Knicks. If he wants to win, get out of Charlotte.
Go to the Knicks.
If he's getting Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant's coming, that's the thing with Durant.
Durant will not go to the Knicks unless someone went there first. Yeah. Durant's not going to go by himself. Because he'll get stuck there alone. I don't see Kemba like,
and
I'm going
why
to
Why not give Dennis Smith? You didn't just trade him to sit him on the bench.
I like Dennis Smith, Jr.
I do too.
I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Talk about needing to work on a jump shot.
Who did? Oh,
Dennis
Smith? His jump shot.
He's probably the best shooting jump shot.
He's a great athlete, but he is not a good shooter.
That's a reach, man. He's solid.
Klay Thompson, shooting guard, Golden State Warriors. He will be a unrestricted free. No, he's a restricted free agent coming up, which means the Warriors can match whatever anybody offers him. He's available for the max, like $180 million.
Dude, if you're talking about fit, like
Golden State. Like I know people got Lakers out there and all this other stuff, but why would he leave after watching what the Lakers have gone through the past month and a half? Why would he leave that when Golden State is about to get a brand new arena downtown San Francisco? He's part of the Splash Brothers. He's gonna get paid.
This game just fits the Warriors.
It just fits.
Well, my thing is, I'll play advocate a little bit. We left Kawhi Leonard off this list.
Oh, we haven't got
there. Okay, so I didn't see him written down. So I didn't see him. But
sorry about that.
My thing is, there's been rumors linking him to the Clippers. If Klay and Kawhi team up in for the Clippers in L.A., that's appealing.
I can see Jimmy Butler doing that too.
See,
actually,
I don't think Klay would be good in any other system.
Why?
He's good in Golden State.
I mean, shooting.
I mean, he wouldn't be this good in any other system. Like the system he's playing in Golden State, it's built around him.
I think they're holding him back personally.
As far as like how much he could score, as far as how much he could score a game, I would agree.
Klay, but that's because Klay could get more shots.
Yeah,
Durant's there.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard. But even when Klay was there, he still wasn't the second option. I would say, you know, they still were working around
Steph. And then
he was the second option.
Well, I guess.
So the question is, can they keep Klay and Durant?
No, I don't think they can.
Right. So if they keep Durant again.
Money-wise, they can. They can.
Well, they can go over. They have to pay a luxury tax for it, and I don't know if they would do that. Plus, I mean, we're watching them play without Durant right now, and it's like, why should we pay $40 million for Durant when technically, we can win without him. We beat him. So, like, why do we need to pay him 40 just to kind of keep this going?
To sit him out, sit him down, sit him out, get him out the way.
Here's my thing.
If I'm debating getting rid of anybody, I'm sorry, Draymond. Adios, champ.
Yeah.
How do you get rid of the glue?
He
ain't the glue, man.
He's the ultimate
glue guy.
He's the grit of that
team. The triple-double
machine. He does all the dirty work.
He does that, but Steph Curry
is the glue. He brings the moxie, the attitude.
Steph Curry is the face.
He's the leadership
in the glue. Guys, think about before Draymond came.
Steph Curry's the engine.
Yeah,
he's
the leader.
But think about before the Warriors, before Draymond came. They could score anybody 120. They played no defense.
Yep, you're right. Draymond is the backbone of their defense. You can't let him go. You got to keep. And plus, with Durant out, what happened to everybody else on the team? Klay played better. Draymond's starting to play better. We were talking about Draymond at the beginning of the year. Like, what? It's like a monster. What happened to your game?
I don't know when.
It disappeared. And then as soon as Durant's off the court.
He's not getting the opportunities. Now he is. I mean,
he's got
the whole floor's open now.
That's what I'm saying.
So I'm just going to write Golden State beside Klay Thompson. Yeah, man. I don't even know why I put him
on. The other thing I can see is the Clippers.
Now it gets interesting. Kyrie Irving, point
New
guard,
York.
Boston Celtics.
New York.
What will make Kyrie Irving happy? That's what I need to know. Before I can answer this question, this miserable human being
love.
Needs to tell me.
He needs love.
What will
he
make
a girl?
Him happy?
Is Kyrie married or
Kalani
anybody?
Kalani broke his heart. He had a girl.
Kalani broke his heart.
She broke his heart.
Wait, I didn't hear about that.
Kalani,
the
Kalani
party next door.
She's a singer.
Who?
Yeah.
Kalani next door.
This is the R&B circle.
Party next door. Like she cheated on with party next
the under 25 like R&B circle.
Wow. This is the TMZ portion of the rundown.
The culture.
Sawyer's got something on.
Kyrie Irving has been linked to a YouTuber named Golden, but nothing is confirmed.
Of course.
So.
Okay, news.
I don't know.
Of course.
He might not have anyone, but he might. Who knows?
You said she's a YouTuber? That's her job?
Yeah, apparently.
That's
Instagram
a hot
model.
Gig nowadays.
That sounds
Instagram
like something weird
YouTuber.
That he would be into.
Golden. Sounds like
he's a different cat, man.
Sounds like a stripper. A stripper name. Hi, Mom.
That's
my girlfriend.
That's a stage
like,
name.
I need to know.
Okay, so Kyrie.
What will make him happy?
His own team, a big city, a fat contract. But Kyrie and Boston never felt right to me personally. It felt forced. They were never on his list of destinations to go to.
He only left because he thought LeBron was going to leave Cleveland. That's the only reason why he left Cleveland.
He thought LeBron was holding him back a little bit, too.
If we're saying his own team, then the Knicks ain't
personally.
It.
He needs to do what?
Then the Knicks aren't it. If we're saying his own team, then
I don't
the
think
Knicks
he wants
aren't
his own team.
Because Kevin Durant's going to come if they're pairing together.
Here's the thing.
Durant doesn't want to be the man.
Wait, hold on. Here's the thing with Kyrie. Kyrie, as much flack as he takes, he's very calculated.
He brings on a lot of that flack.
He brings on a lot of
it.
He does.
100%.
The stuff he says and the things he puts out in the media, it's not like he's doing it without any kind of thought. Like, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's smart
like, he's
guy.
A smart kid. when he we talked about it here on the Rundown, when he did the thing after I forgot what game it was, where he just randomly brought up the fact that like he had apologized to LeBron James
into the season,
like that. And that he talked about how he didn't realize how hard it was going to be to lead young guys, and that he realized he was being stubborn when he was doing it with LeBron. I had to call LeBron and apologize to him, blah blah blah. He didn't have to say any of that to the media. Yeah. Like, they didn't ask him any questions about that. He volunteered the info. When I heard that, I was like, okay, he doesn't have to be. He's realizing he doesn't need to be the top alpha guy on a team to be successful. He's got a ring right now because he wasn't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I need to know what he wants.
But I think Tatum and them were kind of on him the way he was kind of on LeBron. Like, he saw how it was when them young bucks are like, yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
You know what I'm saying? Like, we might not need you.
And some people aren't wired to take that lead role, and I think he kind of realized that. He's a gunner. He's like
they also brought in Gordon Hayward. They drafted Tatum.
Well, they also made it.
Did they give him a chance?
They made it to the conference finals without him.
That's what I'm saying.
That's another thing.
So we're agreeing that Boston is not going to be one of the spots.
I didn't think that was ever a fit for him. Regardless, they already had Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart. Like, they truthfully had the talent.
The thing is, like, Brad Stevens changed the way he coached this year because of Kyrie Irving, and that was a big part of the problem in Boston, because Boston was a ball movement team when they were at their best last year.
Well,
that was not the case with Kyrie Irving.
So they should have known that before they signed Kyrie.
I would agree with that.
As many shots as he took over in Cleveland,
but to be fair, he was also averaging 8 assists.
But Danny Ainge and Boston felt like they needed stars.
But so, I do think if there's any way that,
LeBron,
they
that Anthony Davis, if Anthony Davis can get up to Boston, then Kyrie stays.
But see, here's the problem.
They have the best trade made for him.
But you can't. But you'd have to trade for Anthony Davis first. You know what I mean? Because the assets that Boston has, they're draft picks. Well, I mean, and the drafts that come before the free agent.
Could Boston put together a better package than L.A. right now, though?
Yes.
That's the question. Yes. I don't know if they could.
Yes. I don't see.
They have better assets.
Brandon Ingram.
I'm tired of hearing about Brandon Ingram.
Are you
serious? Ingram has not developed into anything in the NBA.
We need to look up his stats for this year.
Hold on, here's the problem. Here's the problem with that, though. The Celtics can actually give him a better package, probably. But if I'm the Celtics, why would I? Because I have no guarantee Davis is staying longer than a year.
Exactly.
Why am I giving up Tatum and Jaylen Brown? Why am I giving up?
I don't think Tatum would be in the talks. I think that's the one.
They would try to keep him.
But if I'm the Pelicans, I want Tatum. If I'm losing Davis, you better give me Tatum.
That was the problem in the beginning. That's why the trade didn't work out initially. Right. Tatum wasn't on the board.
One thing that greatly helps the Lakers is they got the number 4 pick.
Exactly. And you got Lonzo.
But their assets. No, stop with the assets. Because their assets aren't great.
No, they're good.
But they're decent enough.
Brandon's a 19-point per game scorer.
Yeah,
Kuzma's a 19-point per game scorer.
I mean,
they're not going to have LeBron.
Kuzma's a good piece.
And Lonzo Ball is one of the best defenders in
the
point guard position. 6'6", Lonzo still has a lot of upside.
Yeah, he got a lot of work to do too.
I mean, that's pieces that.
But when it comes to Kyrie Irving, I'm going to say L.A.
The Pelicans would take him.
I'm going to say the Lakers.
L.A. because not only do they have packages of assets and players, but they also have that, is it the 4th draft pick?
Yeah.
I mean, that is the huge one right there. Because now you're talking about not only bringing Zion Williamson over, but you're also talking about bringing possibly his former teammate.
RJ
Barrett.
I think they got to get up to 3 to get RJ.
That's the goal,
because I think he'll be gone at 4.
You think he'll be gone at 4?
That's also the problem with the number 4 pick, is because there are 3 great players in this draft. 3 of what we think are going to be great players in this draft. Outside of those 3, it's a big drop-off.
I think people are sleeping, because Cam Reddish could easily be the best player in this draft, and I don't think it would shock anybody if you've seen him.
Whatever happened to talking about Rui Hachimura? I haven't heard anything about him the past month, and he was a top 5 guy. What happened?
He's only 6'8", really.
The way
he plays.
But at power forward,
you almost got to stick him at small forward, I guess.
But does he have the handles, the ball skills to play
on
the perimeter?
He actually can't handle the ball.
But I don't know if he can guard a 3 in the NBA.
We're going to do draft lottery, so I'm writing Lakers for Irving.
Yeah,
no one
same,
else said anything
same.
Else.
I believe the Lakers.
That's fine. Because that was the whole point with me bringing up the LeBron thing. Him apologizing so early in the season, it opened up the world of possibility that, hey, Kyrie, who's his mentor? Kobe Bryant. Who's running the Lakers right now? Rob Pelinka.
Yep.
Who is Rob Pelinka? Kobe Bryant's former agent. Who's on the Lakers right now? LeBron James.
I think he apologized to him. But even before you go there,
what about the Brooklyn Nets?
I was going to throw the Nets in as a wild card.
What about him?
I mean, long-term wise, as far as being able to keep him, they've got the money to keep him.
I was
going to
throw them in as a wild card.
The Lakers can give him a max contract. They got $35 million in cap space.
And they could bring AD in as well.
I mean, then they can just wait for AD. The Pelicans are saying, we aren't trading him to you ever or whatever.
Right.
Okay, cool. Let him play for a year. And then
he's coming to LA.
They say that.
And the reason that I say the Brooklyn Nets is because Kyrie Irving's whole camp is saying there's no way in Hades that he is going to the Lakers. That's what his camp has been shouting out there. He's not going to the Lakers.
That's why I said the Nets, too. I'm with you.
Yeah.
All right. But here, speed round real quick.
Can I throw in another thing about the Lakers?
Yeah.
And that number four pick, Bradley Beal.
I thought the Wizards aren't trying to give him up. After
yeah,
the
I thought they were building around.
The Hornets were trying to get him.
But yeah. I mean, they say that, but they talked about trading him during the season.
They did.
So, I mean, if you're talking about trading him during the season, and if you're a team that needs to rebuild, that's a team that badly needs to rebuild.
But I heard the Wizards, well, from what I've been reading, the Wizards are prepared to throw him that bag. Bradley Beal.
Sure. I mean, if you're going to keep him.
I don't know.
Real quick, guys, because I'm up against a break. Kevin Durant, small forward.
Clippers.
Golden State Warriors.
I don't care where he goes.
No, I'm going to say New York Knicks. Durant's going to be
like,
in the Garden.
Rod's like, he can go home as far as I care.
He can go to the islands and go sit down somewhere.
A weight room.
I'm starting to feel like he's going to be back in Golden State. Like on a short 2-year deal or something. Like, because all these other options, they're like, they don't look as good. Like,
what do you do with Boogie Cousins?
I would resign Boogie.
That's the thing.
Yeah, I think they are.
Because you can get him cheap.
You have money if Kevin Durant leaves. If Kevin Durant leaves, you have money. So, I mean, they can. That's the other thing we keep kind of overlooking about free agency. That the Warriors can.
That money would go to Clay.
It's going to go to Clay.
But no, if you're going to sign both, then, I mean, you've got money for two guys.
See, that's the thing. I don't think they want to sign. I don't think they can sign both.
Not to the max.
And then you got Draymond up the next year.
Yeah.
If I had to choose between keeping Durant and Clay now and losing Draymond next year or letting Durant go now, securing Clay, signing Boogie and then getting Draymond next year, I'm doing the second one.
I would keep the three. I mean, if you're going
to
keep them.
Those are the three that got you to this point in the first place. Right. Durant didn't build this.
Best fit for Durant, the Knicks, because legacy.
Are you a Knicks fan?
No. I hate
the Knicks.
I think he's going to the Knicks, too.
I think the Knicks, like, legacy. Like, if he's able to bring the Knicks back, I mean, that's a big thing for your legacy.
Telling you, see? If he goes to the Knicks.
I don't trust the Knicks. The Knicks have given me nothing to trust them in 23 years. Like, why should anyone trust that the Knicks can pull this off?
Not as long as
James is there.
I trust that Michael Jordan can hand over a bag of Scrooge McDuck money to Kemba Walker. That's all he has to do, really. He doesn't have to be really creative about it. He already has his rights.
Kemba wants to win.
They could do it in Charlotte, I think.
Well, we need Mitch.
It's never been done in Charlotte.
Nasser Little's coming, pick 12, baby.
Oh, my God.
We need Mitch.
Hey,
we need Mitch
shooting a three earlier in the week.
Yeah, I saw that. I did see that. We're going to talk draft a little bit, too.
The Hornets need Mitch Kupchak to kick in his skills.
Yes, agreed.
Do what he does.
Somebody else to
and let Jordan step out the way.
I don't even think Jordan's doing a lot in terms of like dictating like decisions. They tried to move stuff trade the line, and nothing was working.
Pass drafts.
Their roster is just horrible. They've got half the roster.
They had
like
Marcus
really
old.
Nick Batum is on the all finesse team right now because my man.
Man, don't even get me.
Well, that was one of the worst contracts ever given out.
Get me going. And then finally, because we got to hit a break, Kawhi Leonard.
Clippers. LA Clippers.
We're saying fit, right?
Yeah.
Best fit. I think he should stay in Toronto. And then Toronto should go get Jimmy Butler.
Let me throw a caveat in. If Jimmy Butler leaves, Kawhi going to Philadelphia would be a really good fit, I think.
You're talking fit, you know where Kawhi would go is a great fit? Right down the street, Charlotte Hornets. He would fit in great at the Charlotte Hornets. You tell me he would.
That perked up the studio.
Yeah, I'm looking.
You tell me
I looked over to the glass.
Who's the coach?
James Borrego. Where'd he come from?
I would have said there was a better chance of that.
We didn't say chance. We just said fit.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I put that in the best fit.
That's true.
Charlie even have the money to sign.
He used to wear a Jordan brand though, but now he doesn't.
Yeah, well,
they've fallen out in terms of that. He wasn't his signature shoe. I think I brought this up a year ago when he was still with the Spurs. It's like Jordan should go after Kemba and trade for not Kemba, Kawhi and trade for him because he was former Jordan brand.
Right.
It's the same. I used that same logic with Chris Paul back in the day too.
You think he would?
They should trade for Chris Paul because he was on Jordan brand.
Russell Westbrook's.
I thought he'd always. Right. Noah would be in the mix for them at some point too. The same reason.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think I've said the same.
Kawhi is a LA guy. He's a West Coast guy though. He's from LA.
He's from LA. I got Wayne from Greensboro on the line. He wants to talk a little NBA before we hit our break. Wayne, you're on the line with the Rundown.
Hi, guys. Hey, I hope everybody's doing good.
Yeah, man. Doing pretty good. It was pretty sunny Saturday. What's up, man?
What I got from you is on a Hornets fan website, they've got a proposed trade. I want to get you guys to give me your opinion on it. They say take Nick Batum.
Done.
First round draft pick. And their backup two guard, the young guy. I can't
remember. Oh, Malik Monk.
Malik Monk. Malik Monk, thanks. And trade him for Love from Cleveland. And then they propose, once you've done that, you take Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and trade him to Memphis for one of their players who's got an expiring contract that you can buy out. And then you extend Biombo 3 years so you can reduce that down. And that allows you to re-sign Lamb. And the finished product, he says, would be halfway decent. You would have Love and Williams at the power forward. You let the kids continue to get their minutes, and you don't have all that dead weight. What do you think?
Hey, thanks for the call, Wayne, for sure. I don't like it for the simple fact that I think that Kevin Love would be better suited in L.A. Honestly, I think that's what's going to end up happening. The Lakers aren't going to use that fourth pick. They're going to trade it to Cleveland. Cleveland's going to trade Kevin Love back to L.A. That's what I think ultimately will happen. And once that goes down, then Kyrie's going to sign with the Lakers. The big three reunited in L.A. Kevin Love, LeBron James,
so
Kyrie.
So you see Cleveland's old big three going out to L.A.
Because Kevin Love played at UCLA.
Right.
Kyrie's got interest in Hollywood. His mentor is Kobe Bryant. They talk almost every day. Rob Pelinka's the GM. They've got the fourth selection. The Pelicans aren't going to trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers for the fourth pick. They pretty much said so, no matter what.
That's like a beef going on.
I guess my thing with that, like, where's Kevin Love at health-wise, for one thing?
I think the Cavs has held him out.
Yeah,
that
may be the case. He wasn't playing just because of that.
That may be the case. I'm not sure that, like, that is enough to give up Kevin Love.
What, just the four? Well, you got to throw throw Lonzo Ball in there because you're going to get Kyrie coming the other way.
I'm saying the Hornets.
From the Hornets.
Hornets trade. Yeah. I'm not sure that's enough.
The money has to match up. Yeah. I don't know. You throw Nick Batum in there. I don't know if I like that trade either.
I don't know if I like Kevin Love.
Do you want to give up Malik Monk so fast, too? We kind of still don't even know what he's going to be.
And he's a rookie contract. I mean,
there's still some value to trade, but still.
I like the core the Hornets have. And if whatever they do with this 12th pick, if they do luck into like Nassir Little, who I think would be a perfect fit for them in terms of Borrego's offense. And if you're playing Kemba and the young guys, Nassir and Malik Monk and Miles Bridges, Cody Zeller,
Dwayne Bacon,
who's balling, Devontae Graham, run with them, let the vets come off the bench, and now you got a different kind of like feel of the Hornets or whatever.
Let's some decent young pieces.
Let's take a quick break. NFL news when we come back. If Cam Newton returns to form from his recent shoulder surgery in the 2019 season, will he be in line for an extension? And should Panthers owner David Tepper give him the largest contract in NFL history? Might sound kind of crazy until we break it down next on The Rundown.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
For the latest coverage of ACC sports, Panthers, Hornets, high school, NASCAR, and much more, check out SportsCarolinaMonthly.com, where you can find sports podcasts, weekly podcasts like A Stone's Throw with Ryan Stone, who's with us on the panel today, the Four-Man Rush Panthers podcast, episodes of The Rundown, and more. Now available via Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere podcasts are available, and that's brought to you by Ray's Auto Body and Wrecker Service in Winston-Salem. The Panthers' Cam Newton has 2 years left on his current deal with the Panthers. If he returns to form during the 2019 season, which is coming up here, should billionaire owner David Tepper sign him to the largest contract in the history of the NFL? And I'm going to start it off with Brandon.
Oh, agreed. If he comes back to 2015 MVP form, the way quarterbacks are valued in the league and have been in the past, the way they're getting paid, I see no doubt about it. You got to keep the franchise intact. Pay him what he's deserved if he comes back stronger like he has been looking so far.
Ryan.
We're saying, should he give him the biggest contract in the NFL, right?
Will he deserve it? Well, not even will he deserve it. Do you think he'll get it? Because
the way quarterbacks get paid. I mean, your highest paid quarterbacks outside of Russell Wilson, you're looking at Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford. NFL teams are petrified of being without a quarterback, and they should be, because you have to have a good quarterback to win pretty much in today's NFL. So, I mean, I think, you know, without a doubt, if he even returns to his form from the first half of last season, which he was, his completion percentage was up, he was having maybe, he was on track to maybe have his best year last year, I would say Cam Newton probably gets that big contract that we're talking about.
Ron?
Yeah, the question is, who else are you going to go and get? I mean, you have to sign Cam Newton to a big deal. Like Ron said, if he even just plays as well as he did the first half of the year. And I expect him to get it because, you know, my theory is the Panthers do well every other season.
That's right. It's an odd year, baby.
It's an odd year. So he's getting ready to roll. He's had surgery. Rotator cuff and everything is looking good, just with some scar tissue that they had to move out of the way. So Cam Newton is getting ready to come out on the field. He has a new quarterback that's drafted that's going to motivate him to do much better. So he's going to come out. He's going to have a heck of a season, and he's going to get – P-A-I-D, and no one is going to hate him.
So I just wish they would give him a receiver for once.
He's got DJ Moore. DJ Moore is going to be
gonna
number
be
one.
DJ Moore. Moore.
Yeah,
Moore.
And Curtis Samuel too. Yeah. I'm not worried about his receiving corps at all. This is the first year maybe in the history of us having Cam Newton where I feel pretty good.
He hasn't had receivers.
Right,
in the past,
yeah.
So maybe this year is the different year.
He's got some weapons. Yeah.
Even if Greg Olsen doesn't.
They also went and got Chris Hogan, I think.
They did. They've been on a tear signing these random wide receivers the past like week or so, just random guys. I'm like, who's that guy?
And then you guys got to remember something too. You know, he's in a brand new North Turner offense that he's still learning. And I think Norv did fairly well for him in the first six games. And all he's got to do is just continue to build on that, work with Norv.
He was throwing 70% pretty
much.
Exactly. He was getting the ball out.
He was actually on pace last year to have his best season.
He was.
Exactly. Like, he wouldn't have been in the MVP discussion probably because of Patrick Mahomes just blowing the league away.
The moment I said that over the air on the radio was when the bottom fell out, when I was like, Cam Newton should be in the MVP conversation. And I got blasted and yelled at. MVP conversation, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm not saying he's going to win the MVP. I'm just saying that the team is 6-2. Yeah. He's throwing 70% from the pocket. Mm-hmm. He's in control of the offense. He deserves to be in the conversation. Eight games in. It was halfway through the season. And then from that point, the Panthers just stunk it up.
Worth noting that, you know, him missing those final games of the season, it may have helped him learn the offense even better.
Could be.
Sometimes you get a different perspective watching from the sideline, so it may have even helped him out.
So just to get a perspective of what we're talking about here in terms of what Cam – and now, granted, we got a whole other season to go, and I'm trying to think what other quarterbacks are out there. Phillip Rivers will probably get extended this year. I don't know if they're going to extend Eli. Who else is out there?
Why would they not extend Eli? Eli just picked his successor.
Is that how it goes?
Daniel Jones. Jones is going to be the first rookie. Well, not the first rookie. But he's going to be the first rookie this year to completely fall off the cliff. That was a strategic move Eli made when he advised Dave Gettleman on
this guy.
He even called up Cutcliffe. Hey, man, I need you to prop this guy up.
So here's some of the big contracts that are right now, so you can kind of gauge what exactly we're talking about with Cam Newton. Matt Ryan has the largest overall contract, $150
million. Yeah, because of the years.
Yeah, it's a 5-year contract, $30 million a year salary. He got 94.5 guaranteed at signing, about $100 million basically in practical guarantees. Khalil Mack, he's got a 6-year deal with Chicago, $141 million. He plays outside linebacker.
He get like $100 million guaranteed?
$60 million. $60 million guaranteed at signing, $90 million pretty much guaranteed. Good Lord, Khalil.
Yeah, but that's Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
Yep, that's a bad man.
Once in a generation.
That's a bad man.
Russell Wilson, who just signed a month or so ago with Seattle, $140 million total for the contract, $35 million average, $70 million guaranteed, $107 million pretty much.
Russell Wilson.
Pretty sure he has the highest year.
He does have the highest average salary.
Russell Wilson is a pimp.
Then
just the whole way he did it. He was smooth with it. He was smooth. He said, hey, guys, it's January. He says, it's January. I need to be signed by this date. Kept it real quiet. Didn't say another word.
Went to OTAs and everything.
Exactly. Then when it came 2-3 weeks before that date came, he mentioned it again in the media. pimp style. No,
don't forget, guys. money. And then when he signed, I agree with you, because then when he signed, what does he do? He's laying in bed pretty much butt naked with Sierra.
Yes.
Hey, Seattle.
Thank you.
Hey, Seattle.
Thank you for paying me all
such
this money.
That's such a creepy video.
Now my girl's happy.
That's right. I blame you.
Sierra's like, now he can go to sleep.
I can play some ball because my girl's happy.
Oh, so that was Russell Wilson.
Yeah, it was a pimp move.
But then you get into a couple of guys here. Jimmy Garoppolo, $137.5 million, five-year deal, 27.5 average, 41 guaranteed, 74 pretty much guaranteed over the life of the contract. He's played what?
Three games? He's going to be the biggest wild card of this NFL season.
He needs to send a check to Bill Belichick every month. Every time he gets a check, he just write off 10% of it and just send it
Tom
to Bill.
Tom Brady, like, too, man.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for helping me get all this money.
He should help Tom.
Right. He might owe Bob McDaniels, too.
Then you got Matthew Stafford right underneath that, $135 million, five-year deal. Garoppolo and Stafford have not. Has Stafford ever won a playoff game?
I don't think so. I don't believe so.
He tried to win one.
Oh,
in the playoffs.
He has been to eight games, or nine games.
No, Stafford has been to one, but he lost to the Cowboys.
He lost to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Then Aaron Donald, who got his extension last year, 6 years, $135 million. Aaron Rodgers.
That's not enough for him.
Wait a minute. This is Aaron Rodgers' extension that he just did, $134 million. 33.5 average.
Which was the highest at the top.
Russell jumped it. 98.7 million in practical guarantees. So that's what you're kind of looking at. Derek Carr, 125 million. As I keep scrolling through, I get down to Cam Newton a couple underneath. He's on a 5-year deal. At the time, it was 103 million. His average salary is only $20 million a year.
But at the time, that's with the market.
Actually, at the time, it was lower than what the market was even then.
It was a little lower.
It was kind of in that vicinity, is what I'm saying.
He was right there. It was like around 20, 23 million.
They paid him like a mid-grade quarterback.
Yeah. Like Derek Carr, for example, gets $25 million.
Right after his rookie contract.
It was right after the max, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
$41 million guaranteed for Cam, $60 million pretty much practically guaranteed. So I'm kind of looking up this list here, and I don't think they're going to give – well – I was going to say, I don't think they'll give him Matt Ryan money, but why wouldn't they?
But actually,
the Matt Ryan deal was what they used to compare for the Cam Newton deal the first time when
they
extended.
If they want
to
keep him there.
But over Cam's career, he's done well. He's made over $103 million over his career so far.
Yeah. So really the question will be, so Cam just turned 30. So when this season is up, he'll still be 30. But really, quarterbacks go into their prime around this time, 30 to 35. So
it just depends on his health, essentially.
If he's going into his prime, if he comes out the way he was at the beginning of last year, not taking as many hits, he was being really – people still get on him about that, but really last year he was sliding when he needed to.
He didn't have to run a whole lot.
He was protected.
Yeah. And he was getting the ball out. Cam likes to throw it real deep.
Yep.
Like he likes to show off that arm, but last year was the first year where I was seeing him – he would take the check down.
Yeah,
he'd throw it down.
That's what I was saying earlier.
He was actually,
a lot.
He's actually efficient.
Throw it to McCaffrey 5 yards out. Let him go get 15. Keep the chains going.
Before, he would have some horrible incompletions. You'd have two or three. He'd throw them in the dirt.
Like, what are you doing?
Like every game. Like, what is that?
And he'll throw a 70-yard bomb on a dime. And it's like, what are you doing? Like,
how did
you
do that?
So I mean, Cam is an enigma. Like I love Cam Newton in terms of what he is. People get on him all the time. They don't like the way he dresses and the funky hats and all this stuff. I don't care about any of that. Every Panther game since the dude has arrived here has been fun to watch from day one.
Agreed.
And it's because of Cam Newton. And if they don't have Cam Newton, there's a segment of the Panther fan base that's like, we can do better, or we need to let Cam go.
And they must
Who do you want to put in his place?
They must have forgot about the Jimmy Clausen days.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Wincke, Jimmy Clausen.
They've had some horrible repeat.
Cam Newton makes the Panthers nationally relevant. And as long as he's playing healthy and has a healthy line, that's all the Panthers really need. They have a healthy line in front of them all year.
Yeah. They should be good. There's only one thing that I don't like about Cam Newton, and that's just his celebrations. Because as a quarterback,
don't get me wrong,
I don't mind. But when another defensive guy sees a quarterback celebrating, I mean, he just turns it up on trying to come and hurt you. That's the only thing I don't like.
And he does take some hits. Cam takes some hits. They're kind of suspect. Where you're like, okay, that was just petty.
But I feel like it's like the LeBron effect. They're like, he's big. He could take it.
Tom
LeBron
Brady
gets out like everybody else.
But it would not be. Ben Roethlisberger does not take those kind of hits at times, and he is big, but he also does not celebrate the way Cam does.
Tom Brady celebrates now.
But see, but then
not like Cam Newton. I mean, pulling out Superman shirt. I mean, come on.
All in your face.
Tom Brady talks, man.
But see, here's my thing, though, with that. We can say that, which is true, but then Cam Newton turns around and gets voted the number one player in the NFL top 100 poll that's by the players. All the players say they love him.
You said he's an enigma.
Yeah.
Is he not the Russell Westbrook of the NFL?
Fashion-wise.
I mean, I think player-wise, just because of the relevance.
Honestly,
like,
player-wise.
Russell Westbrook is what keeps Oklahoma City relevant.
I would say player-wise is closer to LeBron.
Because he does things
at the position that other guys
physically
can't do.
Physically built, too. Like, just you're not six, we haven't seen it before. Yeah.
You know, we haven't seen a guy built the way he's built with an arm the way he has.
He's bigger than defensive ends.
And he runs and he runs over people
as a
quarterback.
He looks for people to hit in the defensive secondary.
But he hasn't won like LeBron. So I think
but physical build.
Yeah.
We're not talking just physical build. I'm talking
how he impacts
the whole thing.
You said he's an enigma.
I wouldn't put him in Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is just weird. Weird to me, like I don't think Cam is weird. I think he has a flair for fashion.
Yeah,
but like Russell seems like he's wired differently. Like the way he handles the media, the public. Like
he looks mad.
I don't know, man. He's like Cam Newton's had his moments with the media too.
Yeah, but a lot of those are based off of misunderstandings. More
body
ago.
Language.
Like,
Cam
saying something and not understanding what it's going to mean when he says it. Whereas Russell will just be defiant towards the media.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't care about the media.
Yeah, he'll get at you.
Some reporters,
he has grudges.
Talk to.
Cam's not really like that. So are we in agreement that he's going to get the biggest contract if he has a good year this year?
I agree.
What about Ron Rivera? Because he's actually tied to Cam. His contract's up in 2020 also.
Well, the word is on Ron Rivera that he's decided to take over the defense.
Yes.
And as long as he takes over the defense and the defense plays well, which has always been the heartbeat of the Carolina Panthers, that defense. Mm-hmm. And as long as they do well, they pitch some shutouts. So even if they don't pitch any shutouts, they just keep the score down so that the offense can do what they need to do and win. Oh, yeah, you have to extend Ron Rivera.
I love Ron Rivera.
I mean, as long as they 9-10 wins,
I mean, they have a great combination. You got Norv Turner as the offensive coordinator, so he can handle the offense. It's not an issue. And then you take the head coach, Ron Rivera, who's a defensive guy, and that's how he made his bones on defense. And you let him go ahead and handle the defense and concentrate on the defense. The Panthers should be Super Bowl contenders this year.
They just can't,
I agree.
Talent
they
wise,
just,
I agree.
They just
agree.
Can't fall on their face. Like that's, I mean, as far as like as far as extending Ron Rivera, they have to have a decent year. Yeah. I mean,
Panthers have to start fast. Like whenever the Panthers have to dig out of a hole, then that's when they're like if they start off 0-2 or something like that. They start off 3-0, 4-0, something like that, and their schedule actually permits them to do this. Like. They don't have a hard schedule. They have a third-place schedule. So, I mean, they're playing third-place teams. I can't remember who they're playing this year division-wise. I want to say it's they played the AFC North last year.
They opened the season with the Rams.
Yeah, I think it's the NFC West they're going through.
Aren't they playing the East again?
I think they are. I think they are playing NFC East.
Yeah.
I think it's the NFC East and the AFC South, I think. I'll check it at the break here. We do got to take a break. Real quick, though, I need to get a Twitter poll update from Aaron. Our Twitter poll from earlier this morning. Who would win in a boxing match if both were in their prime? Current WBC heavyweight title holder Deontay Wilder or Iron Mike Tyson? Aaron, what you got, man?
In, I guess, not shocking fashion, Boxing Hall of Famer Mike Tyson with 89% of the vote.
I'm disappointed it's not 100.
Yeah. Somebody apparently thinks Deontay Wilder would stand a chance. Deontay Wilder is tailor made for prime Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the reach.
I'm thinking
he doesn't even know how to use it.
No. Mike Tyson's eating him alive. Like, it's not
it
even
doesn't
close.
Matter about a reach.
Love it. I love it
when you're fighting Tyson.
Tyson's a bulldog, man.
Deontay Wilder doesn't know what establishing distance is.
I gotta check Wilder out because I'm hearing all these different things. That,
he's knocking
heads.
When does he fight next?
He's got power. He's got great power. He's got knockout power. If he hits you, it's a problem.
Is this a pay per view fight?
Yeah. He didn't fight that great against Tyson.
He's the man in boxing right now.
Wait, hold on. Is the Wilder fight on ESPN or is it on?
No, it's not on ESPN. I don't think
Showtime.
Showtime. Yeah. Okay.
However, his technical prowess is piss poor.
Agreed. No footwork. I agree.
Man, I want to see this guy fight. I've never seen him.
I've never seen him fight. I just see him on like First Take all the time.
He's got
power, man. He's a good personality for boxing. All right.
Well, look, coming up, Bowman Gray has been rained out 3 of its first 4 weeks. Have no fear. I'm looking out the window right now. I don't see a cloud in the sky, and it's supposed to be 90 degrees outside. Having said that, I think I said that last Saturday, and it ended up raining around 4 o'clock, and then you all got rained out again. I don't think there's a forecast for rain today. We will check the leaderboard, as we do every Saturday during the summer on the rundown. We'll check in with the Dash play-by-play man, Joe Weil, also. And I think I've got North Carolina Wine Festival tickets to give away. So if you want a chance to get those, call us right now, 336-777-1600. Play a little sports trivia with us. You can win a pair of tickets to the North Carolina Wine Festival at Tanglewood next Saturday. All of WSGS Sports Hub will be there. I'll be out there in the afternoon. Josh Graham is emceeing the event, so definitely come out and check us out. But if you want to get in there for free, call us right now. Fill up the phone lines, 336-777-1600. Next on the Rundown.
What's up, dog?
Think about it.
A party?
Are we having a party?
Yeah!
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Winston-Salem Dash fans, BB&T Ballpark's 10th anniversary season is underway. Learn more about their great promotions like Thirsty Thursdays and All You Can Eat for free nights at ws-dash.com. Purchase single game tickets for as low as $8 by calling 336-714-2287 or visiting ws-dash.com. And joining us here on the Rundown, play-by-play man for the Winston-Salem Dash, Joe Weil. What's going on, buddy?
And nothing much, Dez. Once again, gotta give credit to it's Sawyer back there, right, doing the music.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's killing it. I mean, you gotta give him a raise or something, man.
You got
Biggie 1 week, this one a little hated or love it. I love it.
We will flood Sawyer with gift cards galore here shortly. So we've got a game tonight at 6 p.m. between the Dash and looks like the Wood Ducks. Is that correct?
That is correct. The Down East Wood Ducks. We're in Kinston, North Carolina. It's funny. We stay at this really funky hotel. It's like a retro 70s hotel. I'm a huge fan of it. I think our guys are mixed. But the good thing is there is a mini. there's some mini golf here.
Oh, so okay. There you go.
It's in the back, so that makes it even more unique.
It's not like one of those like the windmill only has like one fan on it and. Like the carpet's coming up off of the putt-putt. Is it well kept?
It's well kept. When we came here last year for the first time, we pulled up and we're like, oh my God, what is this place? It didn't look amazing on the outside. So I think we were all pretty skeptical. And then we got in and we got to our rooms and everything is like really, it's kind of funky. It's a little psychedelic in its own way, but it's pretty neat. You don't get this experience at other places in the Carolina League.
You said you're in Kinston?
We're in Kinston, that's right. So it's actually the smallest town in the whole circuit. And downtown is pretty small too, but they've got some good restaurants. And again, with that part of it, the hotel as well, I actually kind of enjoy being here.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, be careful. I've heard things about Kinston. So just be on your toes,
so
man.
So have I. And so have I. And you know what? I've tried to block that out of my mind and just, you try to enjoy certain things. There's certain things also.
Well, wait a minute. I hadn't heard anything about Kinston. What's going on in Kinston?
Goes down.
Oh, yeah, Kinston.
That's where Brandon Ingram's from.
Yeah, Brandon
Ingram's
from
there. Reggie Bullock is from there, too.
Reggie Bullock, yeah. Jerry Stackhouse.
Yeah, a lot of NBA
guys. A lot of Carolina guys came from out of Kinston.
I know Stackhouse was from there, but I'm still curious. What's the business with Kinston?
It's a tough place.
Well, no, just Google it. Because it's
small town. I've heard.
I don't want to say it on air.
No, it's a small town for one. So there's not like it's not like Winston where there's a lot going on.
Right.
My bus driver believes he saw some illegal activity yesterday. I won't get into it too much. but it was sort of, again, one of those things. You want to try to see the bright side of a place. So you try to block out hearing certain things. So I forgot I even heard that.
There you go. Sorry I even brought it up there. real quick, I did want to bring up and shine a light on Dash shortstop Zach Remillard, who was named the Carolina League's Player of the Week for May 6th through the 12th. 5 games played in that week. He posted a .556 batting average, .619 on base percentage, .889 slugging percentage, and he drove in 5 runs. He was on a 7-game hitting streak. Is he still on that hitting streak, or did that get broken?
You know, a hitting streak came to an end, so it ended at 13. But yeah, he'd been doing really, really well. And Zach was the guy that played for us last year. It was really neat because the first stop in our trip was at Myrtle Beach, and the field that the Pelicans play on, TicketReturn.com Field at Pelicans Ballpark, which is really not a great name for a ballpark, but right. That's another story. But Zach actually played there his freshman and sophomore year at Coastal Carolina because they were doing renovations on their baseball field. So it was a reunion of sorts for him back to the Grandstand, and it was really cool for Remlard because he won a College World Series with Coastal in 2016, so he's going to be remembered in that region forever, and people still hold that team in Myrtle Beach and Conway, South Carolina as well, just so near and dear to their hearts. So for Zach to be able to go back to that region and see his friends and his old teammates and his old coaches was certainly a big thing, and especially coming off the week that he's had with us, and he's a guy I think that could be primed for a promotion for pretty soon.
I know you guys got hit with that early in the season where you had a couple guys that got pulled up that were playing really, really hot. And then I think Luis Robert was one of the guys that Josh Grammett mentioned to me. He had went to a game. He hit a home run or something. He was really excited about it. Came on the air, and I was like, I think he just got pulled up like an hour ago. So that you guys are on the road, but I'm seeing here that you guys will be back in Winston at BB&T Ballpark for a four-game set with the Fayetteville Woodpeckers from May 20th to the 23rd. And it's saying here promotions include a free food Monday, free hot dogs and fries until 8:30?
That is correct. And it's also, we're doing this thing called Internet Trolls Night, too. So the way we drafted it in our press release is that, public relations experts say don't feed the trolls, but we're going to feed the trolls. We're inviting people to come out of the trolls to come out of their parents' basements to come enjoy some free food. So we're trying to make amends with the people on the Internet that are that aren't the kindest people, but maybe some free hot dogs and french fries will ultimately entice them to come out.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Tuesday's game is Taco Tuesday with $2 tacos available at the concession stand. Series finale is a Lowe's Foods Thirsty Thursday and a Pups in the Park night. Me and Rod were just talking about it. We might have to set up some kind of rundown night to come out and watch the Dash during a weekday sometime in the next couple of weeks or so. So we'll see if we can get out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, you guys definitely got to come out. It should be fun. We're starting to play better baseball again, too. So hopefully we've run two in a row now. Hopefully we can keep that momentum rolling.
All right, fantastic. So Joe, thanks again. We will talk to you next Saturday. I will talk to you Thursday during your minutes with Josh Graham on The Drive when you check in with us every Thursday. And we have Thursday Night Baseball with The Dash every Thursday night here on the Sports Hub at 7 p.m. Joe, thanks a lot. Keep your toes, what's the saying? Watch your toes.
Stay on your toes.
Thank you. Stay on your toes in Kinston. Watch your toes, Joe. Watch your toes in Kinston. Just be safe, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, bud. So, tickets. I do have a pair of tickets to the North Carolina Wine Festival this Saturday, a week from today at Tanglewood Park. I don't remember ever being at the Wine Festival, but I always hear about it. Like when it comes around, people are like, the Wine Festival's here. Mm-hmm. They're so excited. And they go to it and they have a great time. We actually kind of run the Wine Festival. So we have a pair of tickets. If you want to win, take a friend. Like the commercial says, take your mom, take your girlfriend, take your wife. Well, actually, the commercial says, or take all three, which I thought was kind of odd.
That's funny. that's a good commercial.
Take your mom, take your wife, take your girlfriend, or take all three. And I was like, wait a minute, what?
That's my IQ today. That's
my IQ. No, right.
We're talking about Kinston.
Call us now, 336-777-1600. All you have to do is answer a simple trivia question. If you get it, then you'll win a pair of tickets to the Wine Festival Saturday. So go ahead and fill that up real quick. Meanwhile, as I mentioned earlier, Bowman Gray has had a tough go of it here to start off the month. They started off 4 weeks ago. They've only got one week in. It's been rained out every Saturday. Three of the past four Saturdays, it's been rained out. I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to get it going tonight. Typically on the rundown, we give Bowman Gray Racing fans an update on the scoreboard. The scoreboard hasn't changed because they haven't been playing, but you need to know who's leading what. In the modified series, Brian Lofton is still first. In the sportsman series, Derek Primetime Stoltz is still your leader. Tommy Neal's right behind him with 48 points. Street Stock series, Gerald Robinson Jr. is your leader there with 50. Billy Gregg is behind him with 48. And the Stadium Stock Series, Grayson Keaton is leading. Actually, he's tied with Steven Sanders. Both of them both have 50 points on that category. So definitely go check out Bowman Gray Racing tonight. It's going to be crazy hot in the Madhouse. 20,000 folks crammed in there watching cars going around a football field. I hear it's like WWE on wheels. That's another thing we need to go check
that's
out this
really
summer.
Accurate. That's
go check
I've
them
been,
out.
That's yeah? very accurate.
Is it? I mean, is it? I'm trying to figure out the excitement level when you're there. Like, is it?
It depends on how many PBRs you got.
My dad was actually telling me after I was on a couple weeks ago that he was there. But I guess back in the
'70s,
and he was there for like one of the big fights they had. Or
yeah,
something
man,
like that.
They've had
loud.
They've had a car like go off the track into the stands before. Yeah. They've had like fights in the beer garden.
It's
like,
as many
it's
fights
crazy.
As like minor league hockey. Like they get into.
See,
it.
All right, so we're gonna we're gonna check this out for sure. One of these days during the summer, we're going to organize a rundown field trip to Bowman Gray, and then we'll do one to a Dash game, too. We'll do one with a Carolina plan so we can eat and everything else. We do have Calvin on the line from Winston-Salem. He wants to give it a shot for these North Carolina Wine Festival tickets next Saturday at Tanglewood Park. Calvin, what's up, man?
Hey, it's good here. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure. Are you trying to win these?
I want to win the tickets.
All right, man. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to win a pair of tickets to the Wine Festival. All you have to do is answer one sports question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Who was the only team to win two World Series in the 1980s?
Only team to win two World Series in the 1980s. I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
Mm, no, that is not right.
Kevin, hey, I got a question before you go.
Yeah.
Had you won the tickets, would you have taken your wife, your mom, your girlfriend, or all three? Which one?
Beat my wife.
There you go. There you go. That's right. Matter, you know what? I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you another opportunity here. That was a great answer. I'm going to give you another opportunity here, Calvin. Are you ready?
All right.
So here's your second opportunity here. Hitting .406 in 1941, who was Major League Baseball's last .400 hitter?
What year was that?
1941.
Oh, wow.
The last guy to hit over .400 in Major League Baseball.
Joe DiMaggio.
No. I'm trying so hard to give you these tickets, Calvin. I'm really trying so. Matter of fact, I'm gonna give you a third opportunity here. And actually, this is the hardest question out of the three. So I don't know if you're going to get this one either.
In honor of baseball, three strikes.
Oh, all right, so you got one more opportunity here.
Hey, if I foul this one off, can I get another try?
If he's close, we'll see, can he get another chance?
I'm almost at the point where if you just give it a good college try, I might just give you the tickets anyway. So I'm just curious to see if you're even going to get
like
this out.
I hit my pitch. Like, hit my pitch. Yeah.
That's right.
If he'll take his wife, girlfriend, and mom, I'm
not getting Calvin in trouble. I'm not getting Calvin in trouble. So I'm going to give you one more shot here, and then depending on your answer, I'm going to leave it up to the panel whether or not we just give you the tickets anyway. So there's no pressure here. Within the first 70 years of NBA history, from 1947 to 2017, who was the only player to record a 30-assist game?
Was that Scott Skiles?
Whoa! Whoa! He got it! Oh, nice. Man! I'm
awesome! Good job!
That was a pinch hit. I swear. So you have won a. You had to work for it. You really had to work for it. But you won a pair of tickets to the North Carolina Wine Festival. Please take either your mom or your wife or your girlfriend, but don't take all three. Don't do that.
I will avoid that.
Thank you. So stay on the line, Calvin. Thanks for playing. We'll get your information and we'll get you hooked up with those tickets this week here. Real quick, we were talking before the show started about Brooks Koepka and Tiger Woods in terms of what's going on at the PGA Championship. If you don't know, Brooks Koepka, round three is in progress right now. He is up 12 shots on the field. Tiger did not make the cut. He
seven
missed it by a shot.
Seven
he's up shots seven shots
field.
Now?
He's 12. He's
oh, well,
12
yeah,
12.
Adam Scott's at minus yeah. five, yeah. yeah. He's scheduled to go at 250. Jordan Spieth, Adam Scott will start 240 and 250 respectively. They're both underneath him. Seven shots back, like Ryan said. They're at both five under. Tiger did not make the cut. He missed it by, I think, a shot, if I'm not mistaken. The reason why I bring this up is because everyone was so high on Tiger after the Masters, and he just apparently played horribly the past 2 days.
He's probably got a lot on his mind.
He started horribly. Like he double bogeyed the first hole.
He sure did.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, so he started out down three shots.
I think his big mistake was after the Masters. He made this. He took this long layoff. Like he hasn't played since the Masters.
He hasn't played. Yeah,
and like I mean, you know, I would think when you're trying to get back to being Tiger Woods, and we may never see him like he was again, but when you're trying to get back on a roll like that, you should kind of keep the momentum going.
Yeah, he should have played in at least one tournament.
He's also getting sued as well. A guy died.
That's right.
The drunk driver.
Oh, what happened with that?
They had a guy working for them.
Bartender, yeah.
Bartender who had a history with alcoholism.
Yeah.
And they are alleging that they knew that and exposed him or served him alcohol anyway.
After work, he drank with him at the bar, basically, is what happened.
And I think they kept buying him drinks.
Yeah.
So Tiger and the guys he was with were buying
stuff? I don't think Tiger was there,
I think it was Tiger and his wife, apparently.
No, I don't think they were there. He just owns the restaurant.
Oh.
Yeah, he definitely owns it. Jupiter.
I don't think Tiger was there. He's just being sued because he owns the restaurant, I believe.
Yeah, Yeah.
All right, so I just wanted to touch on it and let you guys know what was happening. Brooks hasn't started yet. He's the leader. He shot a 63 round one, 65 round two. He's destroying this course.
And it's worth noting, Koepka played extremely well the first couple days of the Masters, too, and then Tiger happened.
Yeah, and Koepka is the defending champion of this tournament. So they're at Bethpage State Park in New York. The par is 70 over there. So we'll see if Brooks can finish that out. Let's take a break, come back. I want to talk about this draft lottery that happened on Tuesday night. This was the wildest draft lottery ever. The Pelicans jumped up to take the number one pick. Should the Pelicans move Anthony Davis right now, or should they wait? And what else could the Lakers do with this fourth overall pick? Plus, who will be there for the Hornets at pick number 12? We'll get to all of that and more NBA draft lottery style next on the Rundown.
Shut up.
Sit down.
Are you ready?
Stand by.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
That's right. Pro basketball in Winston-Salem. Check out the first place Winston-Salem Wolves today at Forsyth Country Day. They take on the Gastonia Snipers. They tip off at 6 p.m. Rod Funderburk is actually the MC of the Wolves game, so you can definitely go check them out. You can buy tickets for $5 each at SportsCarolinaMonthly.com right now. Buy, save, root on the Wolves. East Coast Basketball League action right here today in the Triad. Their playoffs are going to be starting in June. We might have some news on that here shortly as well. You are locked into the Rundown. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson, surrounded by a full panel today. Ryan Stone, Rod Funderburk, Brandon Blakeney, intern Aaron and Sawyer Dillon manning the ship in the studio. I want to jump into this, what happened this past week at the NBA draft lottery. I was in my car. I got home late that night, so I didn't get home until about 8:40, 8:45. And I'm in a group chat with Rod and Johnny O and Marcus Shockley, the owner of the Winston-Salem Wolves, Haskell Shelton, who's a guest here on the show all the time. And I'm driving down the street, and I realized that I didn't get home in time for the start of the draft lottery. And I didn't realize because of the new format, they've kind of flattened out like the top three, the lowest three.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to eliminate tanking.
And I think they will to a certain extent. Like it didn't really help the teams that really, really tanked. None of them are going to really be in the top three. The Knicks
are in the top three.
Knicks are at three, that's right. But Knicks probably should have been higher.
They should have been one.
I can't believe they didn't rig it. If you ask a New Yorker, that's what they'll tell you. We should have been number one.
I can't believe they didn't rig it.
Did anyone see, there's a clip of Fat Joe and Jadakiss and the two guys from that, I think it's a Showtime show, Miro and
Desus and Rero. Yeah.
They're sitting at a bar and they're watching the draft lottery live and they're rooting on the Knicks, and every pick where it's not the Knicks, they're all like, yeah, let's go. And then they finally get to the Knicks at three, and they're in the middle of cheering because they weren't number four. And then they pull out the Knicks at three, and like the whole bar just flips from like excitement to like, boo. And Fat Joe is like, I hope Zion gets diabetes, like from the bar.
Stephen A. Smith's reaction was pretty great, too.
Stephen A. Smith. But Fat Joe, he's just sitting there like with his hand in his head, and he's just like, man, I hope Zion gets diabetes, yo. And I'm just like, what? Oh, man, wait a minute. Hold Hold on now.
Oh, I don't think Zion and Fat Joe are becoming friends anytime soon.
So, speaking of Zion, Zion to New Orleans, is that good or bad for the league? And I'm going to start with Ryan.
I like it because, it, like I said, the idea of this was to end tanking. And I think, you know, New Orleans, it gives them a chance to maybe entice Anthony Davis to stay and maybe spread some of the talent out in this league.
He's gone.
No, I think he's gone, too. I think he's gone, too. But I said maybe. You know,
he even made a point to say right after the draft, this changes nothing. I'm gone.
A molecule of a chance. But anyway, I mean, you know, the teams that are in small markets like New Orleans, we say small market, it's a pretty big city.
Yeah. Charlotte.
But it gives those teams a chance to get top flight talent and get those guys in there and potentially sign them long term if they can play well.
I really think the NBA is trying to follow the model the NFL has, because the NFL, you don't think about small markets anymore in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like Green Bay is the smallest market in the NFL.
Probably in pro sports.
And you don't even think about Green Bay as this, oh, there's this little small team in Wisconsin. They are the Green Bay Packers. And like, I think the NBA benefits when they have a guy like Zion being forced to go to New Orleans instead of sticking him in one of the main big cities like Chicago or New York or LA. Where it would have been great to see the Lakers get the number one pick. And I think they still would have traded it. I think they would trade it to get Anthony Davis. LeBron didn't want to play with rookies.
They traded Andrew Wiggins.
Exactly. And he was the number one pick. Easy. I mean, so I think they would have ended up
trading
him.
Yeah, but Andrew Wiggins is not Zion Williams.
He was touted very highly. He didn't pan out.
He just didn't have the college. He has not panned out.
Who should the Hornets draft at number 12? Because they did not move up or down. They are at the 12th spot. Keep in mind, they have 2 second-round picks, too. So Mitch Kupchak has a chance to really kind of flesh this roster out a little bit. I ain't going to lie, man. I know the perception that they draft Carolina players and stuff, which is not really true. But I think the Hornets, if he's sitting there at 12, I think the Hornets, it's a no-brainer for the Hornets to draft Nassir Little. He at Carolina, he never really got going. He got injured a couple of times randomly. He had the flu that last tournament game. He has a NBA style game. Have you ever watched him in high school?
Oh, yeah,
it's totally different than when he was playing at Carolina.
Sometimes systems hold guys back in college. We see it all the time.
Roy's system at Carolina does not really suit slashing wings. It's more catch and shoot type guys like a Wayne Ellington or a Cam Johnson. Now, if you can create your own shot, that's
like
even
Kobe
better.
Or a Ty Lawson,
right?
You know, you'll succeed.
You got to be able to the scoring. It's really more about the point guard play and the post play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, Nassir did show flashes where you know during the season where I'm like, you know what, he would be. I'm trying to picture him in a lineup at like. I'm trying to figure out what he'd play. I guess shooting.
Definitely
small
a three.
Forward.
He's a three out of three.
So, I mean, imagine a line of Kemba at the point, Malik Monk at the two. He'd be undersized two.
Miles Bridges got to be in there somewhere.
Which, I mean.
Bridges, I'd play him at power forward.
He's the same size as D-Wade. Malik Monk.
That's true. I thought he was 6'1", 6'2". He's
6'4"?
He's 6'4".
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel better than about that. Okay, so Malik Monk at shooting guard.
I don't know that Monk was the athlete Dwayne Wade was coming out.
Shooter-wise, he's much better. He's got some bounce now.
He does.
Got some bounce.
So, like, imagine a starting lineup in, like, 2 years of Kemba Walker, Malik Monk at shooting guard, Nassir Little at the three, Miles Bridges at the four, and Bismack at the five? I don't know.
That's not a good
line.
No, I don't like
Bismack. Frank the Tank.
Oh, Frank. Yeah, Frank Kaminsky at the five.
I still don't think that's a great
lineup. That's a 4 or 5 seed in the East, isn't it?
No, not anymore.
I don't know about
not anymore.
Is that team better than the Pacers?
Maybe a 7 or 8.
Is that team better than the Indiana Pacers?
They're all so young, so there's no way to really know. And then they do have Charlotte does have the 36 overall pick, so it's towards the top of the second round.
Yeah.
And then they have their own pick at 52 from Oklahoma City, actually. So they've got 3 picks in this draft. I wouldn't call it a deep draft, but it's not like a barren draft either. It's very top heavy.
Definitely not a deep draft, but I had to be honest with you, Diz. I am not in favor of any more Carolina players going to Charlotte.
Oh, that's what I was going to address.
It just hadn't worked out.
I was going to address that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was looking
at
it, and I was like, okay, how many players has Charlotte actually drafted from Carolina? I know they drafted Sean May and
Raymond Felton.
That was before Jordan was the majority owner. That was when Bob Johnson still owned the team. So they did draft them. That didn't work out, although Felton's still playing. He plays Oklahoma City, doesn't he? And he's still in OKC?
He was with the Heat for a while.
He was. And now May is on the bench at Carolina as an assistant coach. Mm-hmm. They drafted them. Who else have they drafted? Because I was trying to think through it. I was like, who else have the Hornets drafted from Carolina?
They signed Marvin Williams.
They signed Marvin Williams. Tyler Hansbrough played with them.
Hansbrough played with
them. But those weren't draft picks. So who else have they drafted?
Jordan did sign them, though.
He did.
Yeah, no, I'm just done with Carolina players coming to the Hornets, period.
Why?
Jordan also drafted Gerald.
Because it hadn't worked out. None of it's worked out.
All the ones they've gotten, though, I mean, Sean May got hurt and ate himself up.
Sean May was never going to be a good NBA player. Right. He just wasn't athletic enough.
Felton, they just... I don't know what happened with Felton and the Hornets or the Bobcats at the time.
Felton's had an okay career. I mean,
it's been all right.
He's
serviceable.
I mean,
he's played over a decade.
No, I'm just saying it hadn't worked out for the Hornets.
So you wouldn't. So if Nasir Little's sitting there at 12, you wouldn't want them to pick Nasir?
I mean, with everything that the Hornets have going on, I'm not sure if I would take Nasir. I may go get another big man like Bol. I don't know.
I was high on Bol early.
Here's the thing.
They're saying he's going to be right around
there. We just talked about it. It's not a ton of depth in this draft.
Right.
So my thing is, in this draft in particular, you take the best player available, whoever you think that is. You don't worry about what you've got or any of that. You just take the best player.
I'm more worried about getting who I need.
Sawyer.
Yes, I was looking at it right now. I'm looking at a mock draft. Saying Nasir is going to be right around the 11th, 10th through 12th pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was actually looking another mock draft, the 52nd pick that Charlotte got from the Thunder. Has us taking Kyle Guy. Would that be something that you guys would want to take? I mean, if he's there?
Yeah. At 56?
Yeah. But I think Kyle Guy, I'm not sure he gets drafted. Outside of his shot, he doesn't have an NBA game.
He can run the pick and roll. I'd say he could.
He has to be.
I just don't run with a second.
He's a bench guy.
Any of the rankings I've seen don't have him in the top 60. So what I'm saying is you could sign Kyle Guy, I feel like, if you want him.
Yeah, but then you're going to be competing against other teams trying to sign him, too, is the only thing. I'm looking at a mock, too, and I'm seeing Charlotte Bruno Fernando from Maryland, 6'10 center.
That's the same one I looked at, actually.
Yeah, from NBADraft.net. Yeah. I don't like that. I don't want him. We got enough of that.
The guy I would throw in is Rui Hachimura.
That's who I was talking about before. I'm trying to find. He is nowhere. He was in the top five all year.
I think in this one, he's on 10.
He's number 10 at going to Atlanta, which would actually be a good fit
for
him.
The one I'm looking at, he's 11th going to the Timberwolves, so still kind of in the same realm.
So I think Hachimura could be a good fit for them. I think if we're talking big men, along with Bol Bol, Jackson Hayes out of Texas.
Yeah, big body.
They got him 9 going to Carolina. Washington. Yeah, yeah, he
did. He didn't pan out at Indiana this year, but a guy that I think has an NBA game, and we're talking about guys that maybe don't always pan out. I like Romeo Langford.
Agreed.
He's an interesting guy.
NBA guy. Him and Kevin Porter both are NBA dudes. Yeah.
Kevin Porter had some leg injuries, right? Didn't he have four ACL or something?
But high school, man, he was the most exciting player.
I've been seeing the power forward from Kentucky attached to Charlotte, too.
Oh, yeah,
PJ Washington.
I think that's a reach for him there.
Man, I think he might not even be there.
He's just scratching the surface on his game.
He's only 6'8", though, as a power forward. That worries
me. But Draymond's 6'8", 6'7".
Yeah, but Draymond don't play. Draymond plays
he's a four.
He's a versatile four, though.
So is PJ. You just got to see him more.
I watched him entirely.
He can handle the ball.
It said he's only 6'6" as well as not 6'8". So that's pretty short.
I don't know what he measured at. That's the other thing. I don't know what these guys
measured at. Now, what if I've been seeing Bol Bol as well. We only saw him for 5 games, really, this season, but he was shooting 50% from 3, 7-2.
He can run.
And you can't teach height, and he comes from good pedigree.
Block
shots. But his frame worries.
He's 7-2, 235.
He has no weight.
You definitely have to put some weight on him.
You have to put some weight on him.
But look, he reminds me of Thon Maker, and Thon Maker
but more polished. More polished.
Thon Maker was
Thon was incredible in high school. I broadcasted it.
Yeah, he was.
Thon was a problem.
He was. Him and Bam Adebayo played in Winston against each other a couple times, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Ball Ball and Taco Fall on the Hornets next year.
Taco Fall?
That's another guy that I would not draft. I would sign.
I'm trying to look to see if I see... did he declare? Is Taco out there?
He's been in the combine.
Yeah.
I don't see his name anywhere in here. We probably could sign him.
I think he's a sign.
Yeah. They released his combine measurements yesterday.
Man, they got Cam Johnson going bottom of the first to San Antonio. That's one I would say
if I'm the Hornets, I would pray that he falls to 36.
Honestly.
That's a possibility,
He's got an NBA game as well.
I think he's another guy that's better in the NBA.
Rod is saying you don't want them to draft Cam Johnson, right?
not really.
Second round?
Man.
At 36? Top of the second?
36? At 36?
That's a first
round. Oh, at 36?
Yeah. Don't, I mean, not a first round pick on him, but.
I mean, maybe I'd take a Carolina player in the second round more so than the first round. And I'm going to be honest with you, when it comes to Nasir Little, I don't trust him. Yeah, we know he can, you know, the system that Carolina has, we know that they stifled his playing ability. It held him back a little bit. But I just didn't see enough from Nasir. Yeah, you saw flashes here and there, but those flashes were still not enough for me.
I'm still looking at him from high school, I think, more than what I saw in college.
He was MVP of the Jordan Brand
game. He came
game.
Off the bench both those games, Jordan Brand and the All-American.
Yeah,
the
see,
McDonald's
I never
game.
Saw him in those games. But
high school, man, he was more – Nasir seems like he has to be the alpha on the team to kind of achieve his – like unlock his game, I guess. And at Carolina, you know, they said all this week that he said he didn't really know his role and blah, blah, blah.
He
was a freshman. He wouldn't know his role.
Yeah. He saw it. But
if you're looking for a guy that can maybe, at that 36, that can maybe run your second unit, Carson Edwards could be an interesting guy for Purdue.
They have Admiral Schofield from Tennessee going to Charlotte at 36, which I wouldn't be mad at that either.
Shamari Pons is another guy you could look at in the second round.
And we're gonna, he might be available at 52 also. Yeah.
There's a lot of there's some talent here. I'm looking through the second round, the mock, and just looking at some of the names. Iggy Bradzelic, I can't pronounce his last name. Brazdelic. They got him going to San Antonio.
Also Anthony Dawkins.
Yeah, the
Anthony
kid from UCF.
Aubrey Dawkins. Yeah. They got him going bottom of the second to the Knicks.
He's tough, man.
Jalen LeCue, who had signed with NC State.
Now,
they got him going to New Orleans.
Now, he's a kid that's getting some first-round interest. I saw yesterday he decided not to play in the combine scrimmage, which means
he's a mystery,
teams have been talking to him about first round if you sit out from that.
Brian Bowen, who, if you remember that name, he was involved in the Louisville Adidas – stuff didn't play last year. They got him going to Toronto at the bottom of the second.
Former McDonald's.
I'm seeing Brandon Clark getting attached to Charlotte, too, that they've already had him in for a visit.
Brandon Clark's another interesting guy, I think.
6'8", power forward from Gonzaga. They got him going 23rd to Utah, though, so going 12 to Charlotte might be a reach.
Speaking of second-round picks for Charlotte, though, I did get up from a tip that Francis Alonso from UNCG is working out with them today.
Really? That would you know what? I wouldn't mind that.
One thing, that's another thing I will say. 52. You talked about him being at 23. That's the thing, though, in this draft. I don't – after you get outside
– top three.
Top seven, top eight – and the top three are obvious, but I mean, after the top seven, top eight, I think you're kind of in a bunch as far as like where guys could go.
I am very, very happy for Kobe White because he has shot up the draft board
to
the point now where he's in the top
five. Got to see early on.
Yeah, we saw him. Actually, today is the Josh Lovell Classic at Dudley. We won't be there.
Classic's going on today.
Yeah, it's going on today. Netcast doesn't have it this year, so we're not going to be there. Are you going out there?
I might swing through if I get some.
I thought about heading out that way.
Probably the premier All Star game.
We saw the three of us saw Kobe last year in that. He scored 40 points and was the MVP of it. And that was my first time seeing him live.
And I loved it because he had some fire in him. You remember he was making some ruckus.
He was going after the Langley twins.
Yeah, Keyshawn Langley.
I remember that. Yeah. So I mean. I'm happy for him. I thought he was shorter than he was. They got him listed at 6'5 on here.
Solid 6'5.
And he can play shooting guard with his game.
And he played the two in high school. He wasn't a point guard in high school.
I'm happy for
him. He's definitely a
point guard
in the
NBA,
though. I mean, his handle.
But I think if he goes to the Phoenix Suns, him and Devin Booker can rotate in and out.
That would work.
A great fit for Phoenix.
That's what I said. They both play either one.
That's what I said.
So y'all don't think he might wind up at Cleveland?
Well, I mean, they just drafted a point guard last year.
I see Cleveland, if they do draft a point guard, it'll be Darius Garland from Vanderbilt.
Well, I think Garland's going to be the four pick, probably.
Yeah.
That's what Cleveland has.
Him or Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
The Lakers.
I was thinking DeAndre Hunter might be the
pick. Hunter probably is going to go to the Lakers. I don't even know why I'm picking the Lakers to pick anybody. They're going to trade that pick. They don't want it. Let's take a break. We're going to get more into the draft stuff as we get deeper into the summer because that definitely is worth a longer conversation.
Definitely.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to do the 1 minute with intern Aaron, and then we're going to get into our odds and ends. So it's going to be tight, but we'll see what we can do. I just got this look from Sawyer through the window. Let's hit the commercial break. Let's get back, see how much of this we can squeeze in. You're on the Rundown.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah!
It's going to be one big party.
Yeah, I'm on.
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
So I am up against time. And normally we have this thing each week, 1 minute with intern Aaron. I want to get this in. Can you do this in less than a minute? All right, so let's try this. So here's your question for the day. Intern Aaron, if you were the GM of the New Orleans Pelicans, which deal would you take for Anthony Davis? The Knicks offer Dennis Smith Jr., Kevin Knox, and the third pick. which you could then use to draft Zion and R.J. Barrett, or the Lakers offer Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, and the fourth pick.
If I'm GM of the Pelicans and I'm faced with exactly these two deals,
yeah,
honestly, I'll probably wait. I make the Knicks wait.
Ooh.
And I see what Zion and AD look like together, if AD is willing to stick around for a little bit.
He ain't.
If he's not, then yeah.
He's already said he don't want to be there.
If he's not, then I'm taking that third pick, and I'm keeping Zion and RJ together. I want to see what that looks like.
Ooh, interesting.
Especially with Dennis Smith Jr. and Kevin Knox. That's interesting.
That is interesting. Okay. All right. Don't forget they have Jrue Holiday.
Exactly.
And they still have Julius Randle.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with Zion and Julius Randle.
They could get a whole starting lineup.
You can dangle.
That
that's what I'm saying.
Josh Hart is a starting shooting guard in this league.
Brandon Ingram ain't bad.
He's 19 points per
Lonzo
game.
Lonzo Ball ain't 19 bad.
Points per, look, he's not has great. To score on these teams. Like 19 points per game. Stats lie
that's
sometimes.
Solid. That's solid. Brandon Ingram's stats don't lie. That Brandon, man can
yo,
score.
Brandon Ingram's got to step up this season for sure. Odds and ends, rapid fire round. We get 1 minute to debate a random topic. Sawyer's our MC here. We got our music going. Let's go ahead and get into it.
All right. First up, Penny Hardaway landed top 10 recruit Precious. Not even going to try that last name.
Achua.
On Friday, giving Memphis the top recruiting class in the country for the 2019-2020 season. The Tigers do not make the Final Four. Is this considered a bad year?
Yes.
I say yes, because I give Duke fans hell every year when K brings in the number one recruiting class and they can't even get out of the region. You got seven recruits that just came in. The class is kind of warped because there's only like, I think, two five-stars now.
They're projected top 10 picks.
Wiseman and Precious. And then you got four four-star guys that came in with them. They got to get to the Final Four.
The best grad transfer, Rajon Tucker.
That's right.
I hear what
Spurn Carolina.
I hear and understand what you guys are saying, but at the same time, this is Penny Hardaway's second year as a head coach in basketball.
First year at Memphis.
Oh, he was there last year.
Was
he? Second year as a head coach.
This is first
you're bringing all this together in 1 year. I don't think it's a failure.
I love Penny. I like
Miller.
I like Penny too. However, regardless of him having the best recruiting class or the worst recruiting class, it's going to be a failure year because I don't have faith in Penny has a coach just yet.
All right, 3-point shooting contest. You pick a guy to win it. If he loses, you spend 30 days in jail. Who do you choose? Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, Larry Bird, or Steph Curry?
Steph Curry.
Ray Allen.
I'm going with Mr. Jesus Shuttlesworth. Ray Allen.
I'm picking Larry Bird, man. I'm sorry. Or something like that. Larry's the only one out of those four where I can sit there and go, Larry would do it and talk junk like the whole time he's shooting the threes. Reggie might be able to do it, but if Reggie's going against Larry Bird, I think Reggie folds.
But to me, Ray Allen has ice in his veins.
Yeah.
Ever since what he that did form, against the Spurs.
Yeah. Like he's a robot.
He has the best form I've ever seen.
I'm sorry,
Curry
Steph.
Is the best shooter
wherever Steph is, I'm sorry to pick you. No, I still got love for you, man. Go ahead.
All right. Memphis Grizzlies have the second overall pick. Who should they take, RJ or Ja Morant?
Keep in mind they have Mike Conley on a max deal right now for another like 3 years at point guard.
John Morant.
Yeah, I think the consensus is they're going to take John Morant.
I think they've told everyone.
I think they have, too. Yeah. So what happens to Mike Conley? Does he just, like, play underneath him for a couple years?
Or he plays with him for a year, and then he's gone?
He's got 3 years left on that deal,
I think two or three, yeah.
I think he tutors, and they play together for a year. Because I think you could play those guys together.
Ja's 6'5".
Yeah.
Wow, is he? Wow.
He's a good enough athlete.
I like him. I like him a lot. We'll see what he does.
All right, UNC head coach Mac Brown signed four-star quarterback Malik Hornsby from Texas this week, a dual threat. UNC now has a top-10 recruiting class for Mac's first cycle back. Are you excited about UNC football?
Regardless of whether Mac Brown got him at quarterback or not, I am excited.
Yeah.
I was there when Mac Brown was there.
Yeah.
I know how he handles a football program, especially when it comes to the strengthening and conditioning coach. And it's getting ready to be on, baby, telling you.
Typically, I say I'm a Carolina fan basketball season only because I get so tired of getting my hopes raised during football season for them to be crushed. This year, though, man, Mac's been doing his thing, man.
Like, and I've got my season tickets, too, baby.
Yeah.
I
want
to go. I think I want to go this year. I might want to go and check out a game.
I think there's good reason to be excited.
Yeah.
It's got Dre Block.
All right, I'm glad we're out of time because I could go all day on this one. But who will be sitting on the Iron Throne at the end of Game of Thrones Sunday night?
Yeah, Game of Thrones, the end of the series. Y'all don't even watch it, do you?
I'll offer one caveat. I'm excited for. I'm excited for y'all to shut up about it.
Turn his mic off. Turn Ryan's mic off. This is a Sawyer and Dez conversation real quick. I'm going to go with Tyrion. I think Tyrion's going to end up being on the throne.
I don't know what happens. Every single prediction I've made seems to just backfire, so I'm just sitting back and waiting for it to happen.
Were you mad at Daenerys last Sunday when she burned a bird? What do you expect?
I saw it coming.
Yeah, me too.
It was surprised. I'm like, they foreshadowed it for like four seasons.
Exactly. Like, I'm mad at people mad about it. I'm like, this is what I wanted to happen. Let her burn the whole thing down. She's been riding around on a nuclear missile for 4 years and hadn't used it. Y'all don't even have a clue what we're talking about.
No clue.
Get HBO.
Oh, I watch Game of Thrones.
You watch Game of Thrones?
Oh, I watch Game of Thrones.
I think Arya's left.
Arya's the last one standing.
So HBO Go will catch me up on it.
Sansa and Tyrion together, I think, will be some sort of combination at the end. Like they might.
Y'all just counting.
Yeah, man. We all about it. Aaron don't know what we're talking about. All
right, Diz. I'm going to give it 5 episodes. If 5 episodes don't get me, I'm done.
I'm going to close this show the same way I did a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Beyonce. I don't care.
Bye, Ryan. We are out of time. We'll see you next week on The Rundown.
Yay, yay.